to do the impossible like Broadway Joe. So sleep if you want, like we will help you get your Z's true. But here's the real scoop. I'm all that and then some. Sharp, dark, and handsome. Bust a nut inside your eye to show you where I come from. I'm vexed, fuming. I've had it up to here. My days of pain, dues are over. Acknowledge me is in there. Yeah. Head for the border. Go get a taco. I see wrecking from the jump speed. Meaning from the get-go. Sit back, relax, and let yourself go. Don't sweat what you heard. Now act like you know.
Yes, yes, y'all.
Yes, y'all.
Who got the vibe? It's the tribe, y'all.
Tribe, y'all.
Vibe, y'all.
Vibe, y'all.
Inside, outside, come around.
Who's that?
Brown. Some may I say, call me Charlie. The word is the herb, and I'm deep like Bob Marley. Lay back on the payback, evolve, rotate the gates.
Contact!
Can I get a hit?
Hit!
Boom, bit with a brother named Tip, and we're ready to flip. East Coast stomping, ripping and romping. New York, North, Cackalacka, and Compton. Check it, check it, check it out. The loops for the troops, more bounce to the ounce. And wow, how now, brown cow. We're ill till the steel gets down for the flex. Next is the textbook old to the new, but the rest are doo-doo. From radio to the video to Arsenio, tell me, yo, what's the scenario?
True blues,
Scooby-Doo, whoopee-doo. Scenarios, radios, race more than four. Scores for the scores, that's mother dance floors. Now I go for mine, shades of seashore. Ship shape, crush great eights to play tapes. Tapes make drakes, fake for the weight of an
Ella, Anita.
Simply Jeff the leader. Bass in the space means peace, see you later. Later,
later,
later, alligator. Pop blows a weasel and the earth's an inflator. So yo, the D, what the O? Incorporated INC into a flow. Fuck, flip, black, black, first, fist, foul. Fight, 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 laugh, yo, how that sound?
Ooh.
It's a leader quest mission and we got the goods here.
Yeah.
Never on the left cause my right's my good ear.
Yeah.
I could give a damn about an ill subliminal. Stay away from crown so I ain't no criminal. I love my young nation, groovy sensation. No time for hibernation, only elation. Don't ever try to test, but what a little kid. Yo, Mr. Busta Rhymes, tell them what I did.
I heard you rushed and rushed
and attacked.
Then they rebuked and you
had to smack.
Causing rambunction throughout the sphere. Raise the levels of the boom inside the air.
You know I did it, so don't violate or you'll get violated. The hip-hop sound is well agitated. We'll never waste no time on a played-out ego. So here's Busta Rhymes with the scenario.
Watch as I combine all the juice from the mind. Heal up, wheel up, bring it back, come rewind. Powerful impact,
boom,
from the cannon. Now bragging, try to read my mind, just imagine. Vocabulary's necessary when digging into my library. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Eating, I do, do like the one pizza tosser. All over the track, man. Pardon me, as I come back. As I did, I had to beg your pardon. When I travel through the turn, I roll with the squadron. Rawr, rawr, like a dungeon dragon. Change your little jaws, cause your pants are sagging. Try to step to this, I will put you in a turban. And have it smell right, like some old stale urine. Chuckity choco, the chocolate chicken. The rear cock diesel, my cheeks, they were kicking. Yo, bust it out before the buster, buster, not the rhythm, the rhythm is instinct. Around the old town, keeping up the sound, just like a ratio. Yo, observe the vibe and check out the scenario.
Yo, yo,
yeah, my man,
yo. What's the scenario? Check it, here we go, yo. Check it, here we go, yo. Check it, what's the scenario? Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo.
Welcome, everyone. This is the Soul Savvy Show. Your host, Q Lynn Green. Q Lynn. Hey, I understand now tonight is going to be a hip hop thing here. So, anyway, Q Lynn.
Yeah.
All right.
How you doing, Will?
I'm
yeah,
good.
We got a jam-packed show. This show is going to be crazy. We're going to be the first hour. We're going to be interviewing some guests. I believe one of our guests is on right now. And later on in the show, for Black Music One segment, we're going to be paying tribute to hip hop. We're going to be talking about the top 10, well, personal favorites, and who should be on the top 10 best list, and and the best hip hop. The best hip-hop MC in groups is going to be a fun show going into the last hour. But right now, I believe we have one of the half of After I Do. It's a pretty funny couple. I love watching them on Facebook. I think they have a YouTube channel as well, but it's called After I Do. This is one half. I believe we have Royale Watkins on the line right now.
Q-Lynn, why are you saying you believe? You know it's me. I'm here. What's happening?
I'm just making sure. We got like 20 people called in tonight, so I'm just making sure we got everybody who we're supposed to. But yeah, how
right
you doing,
sir? I'm excited to be on the program with you all. What's happening?
Oh man, we got so much to talk about. I want to talk about when y'all first, because this is how I was introduced. This after I do, I just thought about it. I believe it was Angel actually shared one of your videos. It was like I think the one that blew up the most, the one with the floor tree when you and your wife were trying to get romantic. Yeah, and your son's like broke in the room and were just ruined the moment. But I just thought that was hilarious, and that's when I started watching it. Then started getting all your videos. It's like watching YouTube videos. You know, you get on there for like you're only supposed to be on for like 5 minutes, you end on for an hour. That's how I watch y'all videos. And it's just hilarious watching y'all together. So what's that like, shooting with your wife all the time videos? Like, who's the one pushing each other to film?
You know, what's interesting is that some years ago, she actually told me, you know, because my background is obviously in stand-up, she told me you should get on Facebook, and I was like, yo, beat it, get out, you know, scram. And so then I started paying attention. I was like, wait, maybe I should get on Facebook. And then I jumped on Facebook and then started doing the stuff that I was doing, building stuff online, blah, 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 trying to learn how to use social media. And then it came full circle because I was like, you know what? I can't do these videos that these young kids are doing every day. But what I can do is try to share snippets of, you know, my journey with April, because my marriage is the thing that I believe in, the thing that I think is unique. And I pull April into it just a little bit, and she didn't come in like with both feet. You know, I had to just like put the camera up here on this, put it on that, and then short is like, you know, oh, look, people are paying attention, blah, blah, blah. But then when we did that video in Martha's Vineyard and it went kind of bananas, she started going, okay, maybe this is a real thing. And then we just decided, yo, well, let's just, you know, really, really start paying attention to it and start making videos, because I was just doing like maybe once a week. But what I found is that when we just shared stuff more often, people paid more attention, and that's when our program actually started to grow that much faster.
Right. Do you think, I think because it's so rare now, I think because of the climate, I think ever since Steve Harvey's book, like every single person that feels like they're knowledgeable enough, or if they went to church every so often and went to Sunday school like they're supposed to, they feel like they're relationship experts. But I don't get that vibe from you two. Is it, I feel like y'all do y'all own thing, and I think people gravitate towards that because y'all just being your natural selves, and it's not like you're forcing, like you're not painting a picture like it's perfect. Like y'all let it, y'all are so candid about the good and the bad. And I never, because I'm single, well, I'm kind of taken. It's a eligible girlfriend situation, but beyond that,
make sure you put the right version of it out there so you don't get yourself jammed.
Yeah, I almost caught myself there. But, yeah, just watching it from that angle, I'm like, wow, this is like, I would take, I know y'all don't give, like, relationship advice like that, like, continuously, but I was just watching y'all, I'm like, just observing it, I'm like, wow, this would be something to just y'all doing your own thing and doing what works for y'all. I think that's what I get from your videos.
Well, listen, the thing that's been kind of interesting and unique is that we don't claim to be relationship experts. We've claimed to be two people who've made it, you know, 24 years and counting in a relationship and 18-plus years married, that's been willing to share snippets of it and say, look, this is the story that goes along with this video. And what's kind of happened organically is that comment thread and the way we kind of receive people has allowed people to go, yo, well, this is what I think about it. Well, this is what I think about that subject, and here's what my experience was. And because of how we frame everything and I guess who we are as people, as a couple, people have come in and not sideways and not all crazy, but willing to support each other. So it's not just us handing the information out. It's other people going, well, let me support this person that's on the comment thread because I went through that situation as well. And we leave it open like that, so it feels more like a community of people sharing information. We just happen to be the two people that's kind of driving the bus.
Right, exactly. And it seems like just from that, do y'all plan on, like, I feel like y'all could do podcasts, y'all could do radio, I could do this, like talk show. I know you were mentioning that earlier. Was that the next transition into what you're doing with your brand?
So right now we're out shopping a version of the show with a production company that we're hopeful about. But my focus is really on continuing to grow the property from Facebook more organically. And so I think the next piece to the puzzle is going to be a podcast.
Right.
Because what?
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I think so. In a podcast that we can shoot, we're just trying to decide on the format of it and then get it going. Because what I'm learning or what I'm seeing in the digital space is that you don't need television. Television can be a nice piece if you can get it, but you don't need it. So I'm really investing in all my time and energy on this computer day and night. Just one, making sure that I respond to everybody, because that's another huge component to our platform that makes us a little unique. Like, you know, I try to get back to everybody within 24 to 48 hours, and I try to make sure I respond to everything, and it's a little different because we literally just, I think we're almost at 80,000 people following us on Facebook.
Right.
And everybody wants us to respond. So, you know, I try to do the best that I can. But I know that we do, you know, we do our best to get back to every, certainly if people inbox us, because now what's happening is that people are inboxing us with specific questions about their relationships, so forth and so on. And mm-hmm. I try to get back to those people because they have more specific questions and needs. But I think the podcast is going to be the next piece to the puzzle that we add.
Yeah, that kind of turns into my next question. I know you're a content creator, you're a producer, actually. And I know for sure, I was just watching these comedy specials, and I remember seeing your name on, I believe it was Cedric the Entertainer's latest comedy special in Little
yeah.
World. Is that correct? How did you get into that in terms of creating in that space? I know you're a comedic stand-up as well. How did you get in that space? How long have you been doing that?
Well, my background is in stand-up first. It's how I came into this business.
Right.
Stand-up comedy over 25 years. So I started out, like, my real break was on Def Comedy Jam. I did that show 3 times. Went on to do TV and film, continued doing stand-up. Eventually got to a place where things were slow, started writing for television, and got the opportunity. Me and Anthony Anderson partnered up and started doing this show in New York called The Mixtape Comedy Show about 8.5 years ago. And through that show, it's a monthly show. I was going to say it was, but it continues to be a monthly show that attracts like a really wide range of comics and some high-level cats that come through there. It just, the show became my business card, and people started giving me other opportunities to do different things in the comedy space based on that show. So one guy that used to run Centric, a real solid brother named Paxton Baker, gave me the opportunity to create and produce a 2-hour comedy special for the channel. And from there, I just started producing more comedy specials. And after producing about 10 or 12 of them, I got the opportunity to direct Lorel out of Chicago, who's on the Carmichael Show. He's a cat that I put on one of the specials, and when he got the opportunity to do his own special, gave me the opportunity to direct his special. So,
directed
one of them, directed a few more, and then my name just became the cat's, said, yo, I want to pull Royale in, either produce or direct, to help me get the special done. So it's kind of one of the things that's an offshoot of, you know, what I do as a comedian and a producer, you know, direct as well and help consult comedy venues and so on.
Right. And I was going to ask, with all these projects you have going on with balancing the After I Do brand as well as your stand-up comedy and producing, like, what is it? Is it about consistency or a balance with putting out projects like that?
Both. It's a combination of both, because you got to be consistent, but you also have to define balance to be able to service everything in a way that you can be successful with those projects and so forth. And, you know, I also have to have balance, you know, just as a father and so forth. And so I got to make sure, you know, my sons have all of the time and energy that they need from me to continue being successful. So it really is a matter of both.
Well, yeah, if you want to jump in, you can ask some questions there.
You know, I was actually enjoying. Hey, is it Royale? Am I pronouncing?
It is.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
How are you? Yes, I'm CEO of Studio W The Buzz, and it's our pleasure to have you with us tonight. And I'm sitting back and I'm enjoying the conversation, you know. And Q-Lin, enjoy the questions. I have a question for you. Now you say you've been in the business 25 years or so.
Correct.
Okay. And it sounds like you've done some magnificent things. Q-Lynn also asked a question about balance. How do you keep balance? And also, I heard that seems like you have a very successful marriage as well, which is rare in that industry.
You know what? I would say I have a very successful marriage. I've been fortunate and blessed to be aligned with a woman who has embraced the challenges of the journey and has been steadfast in keeping me on track and us both being focused on what the goal of the journey was, which is just to continue to fight through the challenges and fight for the relationship and the family that we always wanted together. So, you know, we're clear about what we wanted. I think the thing that I found the most in doing this After I Do platform, which I get a lot of information from, is that a lot of people get into these relationships and marriages without a clear understanding of what they want separately and what they want together as a couple. And to me, you know, the analogy is if you say you're going to take a road trip and you're getting in a car with somebody and you're not clear about where they're going and why they're going there, then you're really setting yourself up for an experience that may ultimately either have you somewhere you didn't expect to be or it's going to be uncomfortable for you along the way.
Wow. Wow. I love that. You know, and as a matter of fact, Q-Lynn, you know that we talk a lot about what you just expressed on the Winter Harris Show on Mondays here. So I'm telling you, I'm a little jealous right now that Q-Lynn, that he's on your show, but it's fantastic. So I'm going to invite you to come on some of our other shows if it's okay with you, because it sounds like you've thought out your journey. But what I'm most impressed about is the fact that it seems like it's done with honesty and integrity and truth. And I can certainly appreciate that on any level, whether you're in business or you're an entertainer, you're a politician, whatever it is. And so I'm hearing the story within the story. So how much does it mean to you to make sure that the product you put out there is something that you would buy?
Well, you know, when we say the product that I put out there that I would buy, you know, the implication is that there is, at the end of the day, a cost to the purchase, right? So when we talk about cost of purchase, most people will think about the financial resource money as being the cost. But the other cost outside of the money aspect is the impact and implication of information that you're sharing with people and how they act on it. And so as we start to get into some larger concepts about marriage and the impact and implications of marriage, you have to look at community building. And so when I look at my marriage, I look at my children, my three sons, I ask myself, you know, what am I representing for them? What are they going to go out into the universe and represent as Watkins men, as men who have been handmade by me and my wife? And what are the people who will follow my platform going to see in me and my wife based on the representations of the pieces of product that we're putting out into the universe?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more.
Would I buy it? Everything that I'm doing right now, I absolutely would buy. Mm-hmm. Because I know, holistically speaking, you know, me and my wife only have the best intentions about trying to share information that we can share that we feel is good information based on, again, our need to help people build healthier relationships and marriages and to for them to be able to kind of connect the dots and understand that these relationships and these marriages matter, because ultimately what happens is, based on these marriages, families get built, children come into the world, and the structure that we build for these children are going to inform whether we're able to go out into a community and have something that's positive with playgrounds and a peaceful experience, or whether we're going to have kids that grow up in an environment that become the ones that are knuckleheads that knock us over the head or mm-hmm. rob our family members from us and create an environment that's unhealthy.
You're definitely on point. You're definitely on point. And that's why, right. You know, Q-Lynn, and if it's okay with you, we would certainly like to invite you back, because you touch on so many other shows that we have We have women's empowerment shows. We have shows that talk about how to build the family. What is the right way? What is the wrong way? What do you do? You know, what do you want to eradicate and eliminate? You know, and we also talk about fear. We talk about so many different things. And so, hey, I really appreciate this. So I'm not going to hog Q-Land. I'm going to pass the baton.
Oh, no, you're fine. You're fine. I was going to transition to music. Since it's Black Music Month, we're celebrating Black Music Month all on Soul Savages Radio till next week. And so I wanted to ask you a question in terms of, I just get a vibe from you that you're a Prince fan. I don't know what it is. Mm. I feel like you're an uber Prince fan. So I'm going to ask you, what was the first Prince song you remember in your childhood?
I think childhood, the song that stands out to me is look, first of all, I'm a huge, like, you know, I'm a Purple Salute guy.
I could already tell. I know.
I'm a guy that knows lyrics. Everything that I learned sexually, I learned from listening to you know what I mean? Because again,
right.
I'm such an evolved human being, but the song that I think that stands out to me as the song that I first remembered is probably Little Red Corvette.
Mm. Yeah, that's a great one.
Why is that?
What's your favorite? Oh, go ahead.
No, I just said Little Red Corvette because out of his many songs, you know, why Little Red Corvette?
Because the song is only talking about sex. It's really not, you know, if you don't know.
Right.
And you don't have a clue about something, you think the man is talking about an actual car. When those that evolved and understand, like, it's a complete sexual experience that he's painting. So it really, for me, at a young age, for a cat who was trying to learn and find sexuality, this guy spoke to something that you can listen to on the radio, you know what I mean, that was being played
right.
on the radio and get a whole lesson. And the idea that Prince was so evolved that he showed you how to romance women rather than come in and be aggressive and exploitative, you know, and so forth. And so for me, that's why it really stands out as one of those songs that is a bigger song than people really realize.
Right, exactly. And I was going to ask you, what's your favorite Prince album? Well, I know that's kind of blasphemous to ask that, but...
Blasphemous. Don't
right.
Don't do that.
But if you could just think of one, just one that you would play over and over.
Listen, I would just tell you that there are songs that people should probably pay more attention to. If you
right.
like, if you take Venus de Milo and play that song in the dark, or if you take God and play it in the dark, or if you take Power Fantastic mm-hmm. and play it in the dark, you know what I mean? There's some incredible music, but people only know some of the more popular songs. But they should really treat themselves to, you know, some of these other songs that just don't get the spins.
Right, and I'm going to ask you, I'll check you a little bit on see how far you and this Purple Army. Do you rock with the early 2000s and his last albums? Do you rock with those?
Listen, I go all the way back to his first album.
31, 21, I mean, in terms of the, because everybody loves the Purple Rain era Prince, but nobody, like, mentions, like, you know, I don't even recognize that he passed. He went to Mars in my book. I'm
hey,
still
no,
mourning. He went somewhere.
But
he's in the atmosphere.
21,
yes.
The really bad albums. I got international albums. I got pressed vinyl. I have everything damn near.
Oh, my God. So 3121 is your album?
No, it's not. No, I would never say 3121 is my album.
No, is it the one you would listen to?
A Prince fan down to a Prince album.
No, I mean, in terms of, like, the new stuff, I feel as though, well, in my book, I feel like his new stuff, he was more progressive with the new music, and it's different. It's 39 albums, so it's hard to try to pick one, but in terms of just his musicality, I feel it got great. If it was possible for him to get better and greater, it was all his later albums. The at past musicology, I feel, is his best, but that's just me.
Again, at every level, because Prince was evolving as an artist, it's easy to be able to look at those albums and find, because again, it's so connected to time, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
So every time that an album came out based on where you were in your life, you know, you could say the Diamonds and Pearls album was a huge album, right? We could look at the Sign of the Times album, a huge album. Purple Rain album, a huge album. Emancipation. Yeah. But it just depends on where you were at the time. Yeah, musicology was great, right? But to me, if you go back to even the For You album, where things were very simple, he was all simple messaging, but albums where he was playing all of the instruments damn near himself.
Exactly. We say the same thing. I feel like people limit, he was a musician first and an artist second. And I still, like you said, it's hard for me to pick one. I just try to say at least one that you can play all the way through. But even with the records I replay all the time, I still get something new about. That's what's so dope, that everything he did was live instrumentation, or him progressing to technology and understanding the way that he flowed with the time. And he was such an arrogant musician. He could conquer like any genre you try to throw at him. And I say it all the time. I'm gonna say this, and then we gonna get to my favorite part of this show, where we play the What Is Wrong With You game. But I'm gonna say this. Prince. I used to play Prince in church. I say it all the time because Prince made me understand gospel music. Cause when I started out playing, I was classically trained and jazz trained. And so when I started getting into church some years ago, I didn't understand. You had to play by ear, and I wasn't following. And then when I would break, I would go from his early 80s records, from like Parade, and it was just, he made it all make sense. Jazz, blues, he like connected the musical dots in terms of jazz, blues, rock, country. Because to me, Purple Rain, that could be a gospel or a country song because of how he plays it. It sounds like a gospel song to me. And that's how I used to, but I was a heathen though. I would play like Erotic City during Offering, and I would play, you know, Scandalous, you know, during Offering. So I would go way left with it. But at the same time, that's what skilled me as a musician. But yeah.
No shame. No shame.
I don't have any at all, because I'm proud to say I used to play Prince of Church. I don't care. I love it. But Royale, we got this game we play on the show. It's called What's Wrong With You game. And it's an either or game with musicians and singers. And you pretty much got to pick what I pick. Will doesn't have a say in this. It's pretty much my list. And so, yeah. So,
you're funny.
Yeah, we just gonna start this game off. I'm just gonna ask you some names of some singers, and you pick either or. That's how it goes. Okay.
It's gonna be easy.
All right, well, put the alcohol down and focus. I'm just gonna ask Royale these questions, and then we're gonna move on.
I thought you told me I was out.
Yeah, this is all Royale. So he's pretty much getting judged this whole thing. So.
Okay, well, leave me alone.
Okay, here we go. Okay. the first one is Marvin Gaye or Teddy Pendergrass.
Wow. You really, is that what we're doing?
Yeah, we got to do it. Come on, let's go.
Hey, Marvin Pendergrass.
Okay, you get a bonus for that. That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's perfect. You playing this game right. Okay,
yeah.
You get, nothing's wrong with you on that one. Okay, this one, the Whispers or the OJs?
The OJs.
Okay, so you get What's Wrong With You on that one. Okay,
my
the
goodness.
Next one is, this one is Michael Jackson.
I can give you a What's Wrong With You on that one.
What? Are you kidding me? The Whispers? Okay.
It's the name of the group is the Mighty Mighty OJ, so you need to correct it.
We can get either or on there, but I'm just saying, if we talk about hits and classics, I'm just saying. Come on now, let's go.
This is too funny. Hey, Roya, well, you have to understand, see, she made up the rules. That's how this thing's going, see?
Yeah, that's how it goes. It's pretty much my judgment of, you know, that's all right. I guess you could get maybe 2 points off that. Okay, we'll give you some points on that.
And people have bad judgment. Keep it moving. Come on.
I have great judgment. Okay, this one is Michael Jackson specific. This one is Off the Wall or Thriller?
No, Off the Wall.
There we go. You're talking right. Nothing's wrong with you on that one. Okay, the next one is Rick James or Prince?
Stop it. Next question. Come on. Did you say what? Rick James or Prince?
Yes.
Okay, come on. Keep it moving. You already know my answer to that. You don't need to hear me say
this
that.
Listen, some of these are trick questions, so you can get some of these right. There's no wrong answer in that one. So
yeah,
it's a trick question. Rick James or Prince?
Prince. Come on, stop it. Prince.
Listen, you can get bonus points if you say both. You can get bonus points if you say both.
Listen. If I was in a car with a moving vehicle and I said Rick James or Prince and the chick said Rick James, she getting kicked out of a moving car.
Listen, Rick James had all the coke. He was coked up making all these great. He could play every instrument just like Prince. He wrote every song just like Prince.
They
stole each other's girls.
Guess what?
Rick James stole the Prince stole the Mary Jane girls from him. Vanity
Six. But Rick James will never even hold a coattail to what Prince was.
You just saying that because he was blowing. That's the only thing. That's the only reason why you picking Prince. You can say both.
No, I don't need to say both. Why would I?
You Prince all day. Okay, we're gonna move on. This one is okay. This will be the last one right here. And this one is causing a ruckus in the black community for some reason. So I'm pretty much judging you on this one. Aretha or Patty?
Wow. Yeah, that's going to be Aretha LaBelle.
Mm. Okay, I can go with that. I can go with that.
LaBelle. Because
everybody
would. You know what I mean? Do
okay.
You know, if people go back and listen to Aretha Franklin's early work, right? This woman is a national treasure, right?
That's what I told you, Q-Lan. That's what I said last week.
No, you didn't say that. You were Aretha all the way. You didn't give no reason behind that pick. I needed you to expound a little more. You never did. So stop it, Will.
Listen, what is the song Calling? What's the name sample? What's the group out of Detroit? Sample Calling. That wasn't the Far Side. It was actually, I think Jay Dilla actually sampled it. Yeah, Jay Dilla sampled Calling. But Aretha's catalog is so dope. She's such a dope. When you see her sit down at that piano and play and sing, let me tell you, she is amazing. But Patti LaBelle is such an incredible artist, singer, and performer. You can't take nothing from Patti.
That's right.
I agree. Okay, this is a bonus one, and then we gonna move on. We're going to let you go. I know you're busy. This one is Brian McKnight or Babyface?
Babyface, that was an easy one.
There we go. See, you talking right. Okay, nothing's wrong. I determined and concluded that nothing's wrong with Royale. Nothing's wrong with him.
Hey, you didn't give me that question, Q-Lan.
Say it again. I asked Eric that last week.
Okay.
The Brian.
No.
Yeah. Brian McKnight or Babyface.
Okay, I'm sure I got it right.
I think you picked Babyface. I think you picked Babyface. But thank you, Royale, for coming on. If you want to, you can stick on a little while longer if you have nowhere to go. We were supposed to be, I believe I hear Angel in the background.
Yes,
I believe.
I'm here.
How are you doing?
I'll stick around long enough. I had an Angel and Angel's Marcus with you as well.
I'm right here, homie.
What's up,
Royale?
Where them badass kids at?
I can tell you that.
Oh my goodness, this is real good.
What we gonna do right now? We gonna take a break. Well, you can go to the song, and then we can. Well, I guess we can get straight to it then, and then go to break.
We can.
We have on the line right now. We have. Is this gonna cause an argument? Podcast is featuring Angela Kedavor Tankley. I feel. I don't know. Is it all right to say your whole name like that, or do you go by your actress name?
Whatever name I can cash a check in, you can say.
I know, that's right. Okay, we got Angel and we have Marcus Tank on from Is This Gonna Cause Argument. How you guys doing?
I'm good. How's it going?
Thank you for having us.
Man, I was been trying to get y'all on for like almost a year now. I think I didn't have the radio show then, but now I was like, okay, it'd be perfect time to get y'all on. We just sitting here acting a fool. I'm sitting there asking crazy questions. I was gonna ask you guys, in terms of your podcast, like I said with Royale April on your podcast, y'all have so much chemistry together, but I feel like the body language with Marcus is like, get it over with, but when he gets into it, like, he starts like delving all this great information. But I feel like the start of the show, I like listening to it on SoundCloud first and then go watching it on YouTube so I can see y'all reaction from the beginning to behind the scenes because it's hilarious. It's like 1,000 times more funnier when I watch it on YouTube after the fact. But
How's that chemistry like working together as a married couple?
Yeah, I'm more of a straight to the point type person.
Right.
She has that skill and talent of like drawing the audience in. Because if it was just me, wouldn't nobody stick around past the intro?
But people enjoy that though for some reason. They like when people just banter on like randomly for like 5 minutes. I'm like, y'all gonna get bored with that, but they like it for some reason.
See?
Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Amy.
Yeah, people love it. I don't know why, but they do.
They do. He don't realize that. Marcus is always, yeah, he's always like, I wish this was already over with. You picked up on it real nicely, Q. He is always trying to get up off of the podcast.
Is he an Aquarius? Because my dad is like that. My dad is like that. He like, is he an Aquarius?
Yes, he is. You got that right.
That's my dad. That's my dad. He's like that. He gets straight to the point every time.
I don't like it. It ain't that I want to be over with the podcast. I just want to get on to the next subject. We already talked about that already.
Right. I was going to ask y'all, were y'all thinking about doing an hour long with the podcast or just sticking with the 30 minutes? Because I actually listen to y'all in the car when I'm on my way, when I'm on the interstate driving to a gig. I listen to y'all, and then I'll try to switch with y'all in another podcast I listen to. But I like listening to y'all in the car. So it'd be nice to have an hour long, make that ride, that 3-hour ride a little bit longer. But that's just me.
It's a struggle trying to find the time to do the podcast because we have kids
right.
Who are out of the house or asleep because they can be hellions. And then with Marcus having to go to his, you know, regular job early in the morning, if we do it at night, like, he's already like, all right, when we finish it, I need to go sleep. So I don't foresee an hour long coming anytime in the future unless our kids are like become other people. I don't know how else we will be able to do
it's been suggested, and I told Angel if we didn't have to worry about the sound quality, we could literally get in the car and it would be a no problem to make it like an hour long show podcast or whatever. But yeah, like by the time we do it, it's already like 10:30. I'm up at 4 a.m. in the morning, so I'm like, all right, that's why I'd be rushing it, like, hurry up. What are we talking about next?
What is it in terms of when y'all sit down and pick the topics? Do y'all have a forethought of how people are going to, like, I know y'all do a little bit about, y'all talk about police brutality. Y'all mix it up a little bit with the, I guess, people that have questions or just the topic y'all want to talk about in terms of, like, talking about social issues and all. Do y'all have, like, a forethought in y'all head before y'all start talking about it, or do you just do it?
It really depends on. Oh, go ahead, babe.
No, I was going to say, usually Angel will come up with the topic at the time. I don't even know what we're going to talk about until we start talking. But she'll usually try to pick something that's been, at least is what it seems like to me, something that's been, like, asked, like, requested by somebody or what's a hot topic at the time. But go ahead, Angel.
Yeah, it just all depends. We try to mix it up because our podcast, we don't want it to be a bunch of serious topics, because neither one of us are like that, where we're just constantly talking about the serious ills of the world. However, we are both, you know, quote unquote woke people, so we also aren't here for the okie doke. So if there is something that is going on in the world, we want to use our platform, because I mean, just recently my channel became majority black viewers. At least those are the ones that are the most vocal. However, when my YouTube channel started and when it started to really pick up momentum, it was majority, you know, people not the same race as me and younger. So I feel an obligation to make sure that they are fully aware of what's really going on in the world, because I think a lot of times, sometimes our people, but a lot of times people who aren't black turn a blind eye, not realizing, no, this stuff is going on. You can't sit here and pretend like it's not, because then you're a part of the problem too. So I try to mix it up to make sure, like, if there's something especially going on in the black community that I feel like we need to bring a light to, I'm going to always use my platform to try to shine some light on it and educate people. But when it can be funny and light, we definitely love to do it, because we both love to laugh.
Right. In terms of your YouTube channel, I think I started watching it, I think, like a couple years ago. But I think I got to your YouTube page because I was watching – listen, I take care of 3 or 4 children, and so my TV stays on Nick Jr., Nick at Night, or whatever. I think it was a late night talk show. I forgot the name of it, but you were on there, and I was like, yo, this thing's hilarious. Yeah, I forgot the name of the talk show, but it was hilarious. I was like, I wonder if she got like a, because they said you were a comedian on there. I was like trying to find, see if you had any clips online, and I was like, that's when I stumbled upon your page. And I don't think you were doing blogs yet. I think you were, I don't know what it was, but it was around that time. It was like 2013 or 2014 when I found it. But yeah.
Yeah, it was Parental Discretion. That was the talk show I was on.
That's the name of it. Yeah, that's when I found it. It was on TV. And I was like, yo, cause you were interviewing and it was like lighthearted and fun. And I was like, she's like really like witty and clever with it. And I was like, I love that kind of comedy that's like off the riff like that. And it was just like improv and it was funny. And so I wanted to know with your YouTube channel, how, I know, I was just talking to Royale about it. Is it about the consistency or balance? But I feel like you have all that down. I know it's probably hard to balance sometimes, but I just watch your videos. I'm like, man, let me do something with my life. Cause you take care of 3 children. I'm like, I'm like flipping. Like, let me finish these drafts and practice my music for, you know, I'm really behind right now. When I watch your show, so it's like, in terms of that, have you found that strive yet, or balance with doing a YouTube channel and being a working actress and all these other endeavors you're into?
You know what? Kind of, but not really, because I have really like important goals that I want to reach with all the stuff that I do online, specifically for my YouTube channel. And I know that a lot of it comes with even more consistency and more attention to detail. And that's the part that I have not figured out a way to schedule in, because my life is so unpredictable. I'm not like a lot of these other people who do have a YouTube channel, whether or not they get through it full time or otherwise. I am so not in control of my schedule. If I have an audition, or if I book a gig, or if I have to go out of town to do stand up, it's not consistent every single week, so it's hard for me to like set aside time to be like, and now it's just for YouTube. But here lately, I am very proud of myself. I've been doing a lot better, but I'm still not quite where I want to be, and I feel like one day I will be there, but it's a struggle. I'll be on the struggle bus on a daily basis, but hopefully eventually Marcus will be able to help me more once he gets his schedule to a place where he wants it to be.
Right, and I was gonna say, I was like, you make it, I know it's hard, cause people, I understand it, cause I'm in the music industry, and it's kinda the same as entertainment, period, cause of, the people I encounter with, we're pretty much in the entertainment business, so I get it. But a lot of people that just, if they're not in the industry, they don't understand, like, how hard it is just from, they see it on YouTube, and they feel like you just, oh, this is a video, it just appeared in 5 minutes. Like, they don't realize,
right.
Like, uploading videos takes like maybe like 2 to 3 hours, maybe longer than that, depending on how long the video content is. But they just feel like you just uploaded and oh, it just happened like a random Tuesday.
No.
It just existed. But do you feel like your audience understands that, or do you think they get it completely and kind of give you slack if you don't post like every week, or do you think the balance is there in terms of how they see your channel?
I think it goes back and forth. I think there are some of, as we call them, my family, that'll ride with me. If I can only get one video up, they'll be there for that one video. But
right. The
thing is, there are so many people that post on YouTube, post on social media. So if I am not consistent, regardless of whether or not they're going to ride with me, somebody else is going to take their attention. So if I want to keep the attention or earn the attention, because there's hundreds upon thousands of family vloggers and funny people on YouTube. So if one thing for certain, I want them to know that they can always come to my channel for new content. They can always come to my channel and know that I have put in some work or effort. So while they might not be like, Angel, you pathetic, I know somebody will grab their attention if I am not the one putting up content, at least consistently. Even if I decide not to do it every day like I have been, I need to at least be consistent in some way, form or fashion.
Right. If I'm gonna let Will ask a couple questions, then I got some music questions for y'all. We're gonna play that game. What is wrong with you game after he asks you these questions.
Okay, yes, okay. Hi. Is it April that I'm speaking to?
No, this is Angel and Marcus.
Angel, because I'm looking at your page and
hey,
I see April.
Will, put the drink down.
No, Q-Land.
Pay attention to what's going on,
Q-Land.
Will.
It has nothing.
I gotta check to see if Will is drinking on the show sometimes. He does it all the time. I gotta check to see if he got a cup.
You know, no.
He don't be listening.
Let me hold it.
I gotta put the cup down sometimes because he just be in a whole other world when we be talking.
Q-Land, nope. I think it's the other way around. Q-Land. I'm looking at your page that you posted. It says April and Royale Watkins.
Well, this is why I tell you that he needs to put the Hennessy down because
it
we
has
had
nothing to do
conversation.
With it. I don't drink Hennessy.
I'm so glad I stuck around just to keep listening. This is cold.
I don't.
Put the cup down and pay attention.
Number
I just
one.
Told you this is,
oh, my God. This what is hilarious.
I don't believe this. This is just stupid.
Put the cup down and ask a question. Put the cup down and ask a question.
Oh my goodness, Boone's farm. Hey, do this still?
Put whatever is in your cup.
This is too funny. Do they still sell Boone's farm? I don't know.
You would know.
All stars, Will. Go back to the interview and interview Marcus
Will,
and Angel.
Ask the question.
Wait a minute, hold it. I'm looking at what Q Lynn posted here. Okay.
Well, I have like 7 pitches on there. What are you talking about right now?
We're
going to skip to the game because Will is needs to go to adult my age meeting.
See,
he's not paying attention to what's going on.
No, I did.
We're playing what's wrong.
I've been listening to the whole thing.
This is why I ask Will what's wrong with him every day because he just, I don't know what's going on.
Oh, God.
He needs to go to his meeting.
Okay.
Will, do you have a question for Angel and Marcus? Do you have a question?
I had a question before you interrupted.
Okay. Put the drink down and come on. Let's go.
See, I don't believe she did this. This is live radio across the universe, and you're accusing me of drinking. Is there a camera in the house?
2 plus 2 equals a Hennessy in your cup. Come on, let's go.
I don't
ask the question.
Number one, I don't drink Hennessy. I hate it. So.
Well, Q-Land. Jack Daniels, moonshine, whatever it is you got. Ask the questions, Will. Come on, let's go.
You know, I'm going to have to apologize to our guests. Because Q-Land, okay. I had a question. Because if I understand correctly, both of you are stand-up. Are you do stand-up comedy?
Who, me and my husband?
Yes.
No, not at all. Well, I do stand-up. My husband Will. Industry at all. What are you reading, boo?
Angel is a stand-up comedian, and Royale was a stand-up comedian.
Okay, hold on.
Okay, we're going to get to the what is wrong with you guys.
I don't believe she did this to me.
I'm about to cut his mic off, because I don't know what's going on right now. This is Will.
This is live radio. That's what it is.
Ask Angel and Marcus a question.
Lord Jesus, I can't believe this.
Yo, Marcus and Angel, yo, this is hilarious.
This is going to be in the top 5 show right here. This is going to be another top 5 classic show.
I just want to tell the story real quick. Well, you know, I asked the question, and apparently the question was wrong, okay? Now, both of them are in the entertainment business, right?
They have a podcast called
I thought I heard someone say that he did stand up.
Yes, it was Angel does stand up. She's a comedian. She's an actress. She's a working actress. She has a podcast with her husband, Marcus Tankle.
That's exactly what I said.
No, you did not. You said that both of them were comedians. Well, put the drink down and focus, okay? Ask them the question so we can move on. To the game. Come on, Will. Let's go.
You just wasted 15 minutes, Q-Lynn. Okay.
Okay.
I have no questions.
Okay. So Will's going to continue drinking his Jack Daniels. We're going to let Will get back to his Jack Daniels. And we're going to play this game with Marcus and Q-Lynn.
Q-Lynn.
Wait a minute. We went through... Oh, go ahead. Who is this?
Hey, Q-Lynn, can I ask Marcus and Angel a question?
Yes, Royo. You can go. Go ahead, Royo.
So listen, how long have you guys been married? Let's start with the basics, right? How long have you guys been married?
Go ahead, answer Marcus.
Marcus, how long did you say?
Oh, he's breaking up. It'll be 10 years in July.
Okay. And so how long have you guys been doing the podcast together?
I think it's been a year and a half. Yeah, it's been a year and a half. Dang, yeah, a year and a half.
So what do you think the implications has been on you all's relationship after doing the podcast together?
You know what? And once Marcus has better reception, I'm sure he'll chime in. The biggest part has been that Marcus, he's not used to, like, having people be able to have their opinion on our marriage openly, like, and just put whatever the heck they want to. So I know sometimes if I ever agree with something they say that might be in a negative light on him, he's like, okay, now I'm going to need you to pull back a couple of feet. And this is not what we do. So I feel like on our marriage, we have to find a stronger boundary with doing the podcast so that, one, he doesn't feel like I'm allowing people to gang up on him. And, two, if I have an issue or he has an issue with me, we don't use that platform to deal with the issue. We deal with the issue outside of.
Yeah, here we go.
Gonna,
y'all hear me now?
Yeah,
he back.
Yeah. I was going to ask y'all some musical questions. I know y'all in the hip-hop. We're celebrating hip-hop for this Black Music Month segment going into the last hour of the show. I was going to ask y'all, what's your you don't even have to have a top five, but who's your favorite rappers you think are lyrically good?
Marcus, go
ahead. You talking about current or all together?
Yeah, we actually going to break that down later on the show, like a solo rap artist, or if you have a favorite group, artist that was in a group, you can choose that as well.
But it doesn't have to be current. It could be any.
It could be anybody from the past, just the history of hip hop, like anybody in that era. It doesn't have to be anybody current.
For some reason, when you asked that, my mind went straight to Death Squad. It was Redman, Eric Sermon.
That was
a nasty little crew right there. I really enjoyed that. Of course, let me see. Group. Of course, Wu-Tang is in there. D-Block.
Who's your top favorite? Your top favorite Wu-Tang member? Like, your three. Your top three Wu-Tang clan members.
Let me see. I ride with Mess, RZA, and it's between ODB and Ghostface.
Oh, you hit it. Raekwon is in there with me too. He's in my three.
That's a tough to pick. When you're talking Wu-Tang, it's tough to pick like a certain
right
few that you like. You know what I'm saying?
Angel, you have any hip hop? I know you like singers. We did a couple weeks ago. We did our top favorite singers, and we went way back. We were talking about Regina Bell, Angela Winbush. I don't know if y'all know any of those, but Anita Baker. Faith Evans, Kelly Price, but who's your favorite folks?
Y'all go ahead.
Hip-hop, who's my favorite?
You can pick hip-hop or soul singers. If you don't have a hip-hop artist, you can pick a soul singer you like.
I do have a hip-hop artist that I like, and it's somebody that people don't ever name, even though they have a lot of respect for him. Probably my favorite hip-hop artist, and I'm always excited when he drops a song, is Busta Rhymes.
Yes, he's actually in my favorites list. Busta Rhymes.
Yeah.
If you listen to A Tribe Called Quest, he had a verse on their last album that came out last year, and he straight killed it. He ate all them. It's called Mobius, A Tribe Called Quest last album, and he killed. They gave him like at least 12 to 14 bars, and he killed it. But yeah, Busta is absolutely in my top five.
A lot of people forget. Busta been around since Wu-Tang, Ghetto Boys was out, and Busta's still carrying.
Yeah, and he's always been, if y'all notice, like, during the 90s, he was always the last person to go on people's records, like the Flavor and Year remix, he's the last one.
A Tribe Called Quest,
he was the last one on there. So, yeah, they said the best rapper always went last in the 90s.
Yeah,
and he always went last.
And also, yeah, whenever I've seen him perform live, like, he's worth it. A lot of people, when I see them, like, I might like their song on wax, but once they perform live, they don't have the ability to perform live and really make me like them. It just sounds like they're yelling. Busta Rhymes is just, like, amazing. He's just a great performer, and I love me somebody that can perform live, and he's one of them.
Yeah, he got that pot belly. I seen him. I forgot what show. He got that dad belly out there. I'm like, yo, he's straight live right now. I think it was the Bad Boy, Diddy had a show, and he brought, like, all these different, rappers on. I want to say it was the Bad Boy concert, and he came out and ripped it. But yeah, we played the game on there. I think you came in on the last part when we were doing the What's Wrong With You game. I want to play this game with y'all and let y'all go. I don't know. Y'all can stay for the whole show if you had time, but we're going to talk about hip hop in the last hour. But it's called the What's Wrong With You game, and I want to put y'all two against each other and see who wins this game. It's called What's Wrong With You. You basically have to pick what I pick. That's the premise of the game. And, you know, I did the list with Royale, but I'm gonna go head to head. Is Marcus and Angel going head to head right now? Okay, here we go. Marvin Gaye or Teddy Pendergrass?
Marvin.
Marvin. Who you got, Angel?
Marvin, all day. Marvin.
Okay, so nothing's wrong with y'all on that question. Okay, the next one. The Whispers or the OJs?
The OJs.
OJs.
Okay. Maybe I could get bonus points for that one, because Whispers and OJs, they kind of equal level. I was kind of leaning towards more the Whispers, but I go with that.
I'm honestly on the fence, but I got to lean toward OJs.
Okay, so y'all get bonus for that. Y'all kind of neck and neck right now. It's tied up. Okay, the next one. This is very specific with Michael Jackson. It's very specific. Off the Wall or Thriller?
Okay, what was it on Off the Wall? Because a Thriller in itself, I know it's a whole album.
Rock With You.
That's on Off the Wall.
Rock With You. Yeah, Off the Wall.
Off the Wall is off the hook. Like, Thriller is too, though. God dang.
Off the Wall. Thriller by itself, like, I feel like stands alone. It's just epic.
I'll tell you what, Off the Thriller.
No, you gotta pick one. This one is very specific. I wasn't gonna get bonus points for this one, but nah, you gotta pick just one.
You know what? I'm gonna go with Thriller.
I'm gonna go with Off the Wall.
You going with Off the Wall, Angel?
Yeah.
Okay, so something is wrong with Marcus. Angel got a point for that one. The next one. Because Thriller's for Caucasian people. I don't care. The Caucasian people love that more. Black people love Off the Wall album. Everybody rocks with Off the Wall.
Off the Wall, like I said, it's off the hook. That's my joint. Yeah.
I just hear more Caucasians because they like, oh, he sold so many records. I'm like, that don't matter. He had the baddest cats playing on it. Okay, we're going to move on from that. I think Angel got one on that, so she went up a little bit. Okay, the next one is Rick James or Prince.
Now, I'm going to say this. Now, Rick James, I'm going to always love She's a Very Kinky Girl. I'm always going to love that. I'm always going to love that song. And ain't nobody made a song like that. The one you don't say goes on my vibe. But I will say that for me, Prince probably has more songs that have resonated with me with Rick James. It's Super Freak all day long, but I'm going to say Prince.
Who you got, Marcus?
Yeah, I got Prince on that one.
Okay, that was a trick question. Y'all both get bonus points. It was either or with that one. You could have, like I said, I make up the rules as I go, so you get bonus points for that one. So I think Angel maybe got one point up. We might, I got maybe two more on there. Okay, Aretha or Patty?
I'm going to say Patty all day. Like, Aretha was hot back in the day. Yes, Aretha.
Come on. Yes.
Yeah.
Like, she
was. Yeah, Aretha was shutting it down at first. Then Patty, I got to go with Patty.
Listen, y'all just got bonus points. I don't know who to pick because y'all, I don't know how many points we're going to give. Y'all both neck and neck right now. I'm trying to find a tiebreaker because y'all both neck and neck. Okay, Brian McKnight or Babyface?
Babyface.
See, y'all talking right. Listen, y'all playing this game too well. Okay, this one's the tiebreaker right here. This one is for all of it right here. Monica or Brandy?
Oh, God.
Shit.
So I'm going to want to say Brandy, and let me tell you why. Back in the day when they were younger and they were at their hottest, I would have been like, ooh, it's so close. But as Brandy has matured, her voice and her ear is doing some type of beautifulness. Like, I mean, she went through a phase where her voice went through this raspiness that I was not liking.
Yes.
But as a grown
right.
woman, she has come into her voice, and she shuts it down for me. Like, her ear, the stuff that she can do,
This is the first time ever since playing this game we have a tie. Y'all legit are neck and neck, so nothing. I conclude that nothing is wrong with Marcus or Angel. Y'all been talking right. Y'all get bonus. I was gonna throw a bonus in there. This is the heathen part of me that comes in. I have this thing. I did this last week. I said I asked Eric who had the best Coke out of Mary J. or Faith Evans, and you know he picked Mary J., which is correct. But I said if they would have said Whitney, they would have got bonus because I feel like she had better than all both of them.
Oh, she had the high grade.
Thank you. This is the heathen. That's the heathen part of me. So I was trying to contain it, but I didn't want to put that much pressure on y'all to answer that question because I don't know if y'all. But thank y'all for coming on. If y'all want to stay on, if y'all want to comment, we're doing the last hour of the show. We're talking about hip hop. I feel like we have my guest coming on. We have Shaka Shaw. He's a hip hop writer for Front Free / Rap Dad. We also have photographer Jay Wiggins on. And if y'all want to, if y'all want to stay in, we're going to be talking about hip hop, your favorite MCs, and we're going to break it down. We're going to break it all the way down. We're going to talk about my favorite kind of rap, gangster rap. I call it press and curl rap. That's in my playlist. That's what I call it. It's very significant. So we're going to break this down. Will, if you want to, we can go to break, and then we're going to get into the last hour. We're going to be talking about hip-hop for Black Music Month.
Yeah. So all the then $100 fillers. For real, who ain't got no fillers.
Real niggas who ain't got no fillers.
I got this. Just watch my back. I got this.
Check it out, man. I got you stuck off the realness. We be the infamous, you heard of us. Official Queensbridge. Tomorrow comes equipped for warfare. Beware of my crime family who got nothing to share for all those who wanna profile and pose. Rock you in your face, your brain with your nose bone. You all alone in these streets, cousin. Every man for himself in his land. We be and keep them shook crews running like they supposed to. They come around, but they never come close to. I can see it inside your face, you're in the wrong place. Cowards like you just get their whole body laced up with who sucks. Speak the wrong words, man, and you will get touched. You can put your whole army against my team, and I guarantee you it'll be your very last time. Your simple words just don't move me. You're minor, we major. You're all up in the game and don't deserve to be a player. Don't make me have to call your name out. You cool as featherweight. My to make you levitate. I'm only 19, but my mind is older. When the things get for real, my warm heart turns cold. Another cease, another story is told. It ain't nothing really. And yo, done sparked the Philly. So I can get my mind off these yellow back. While they still alive, I don't know. Go figure. Meanwhile, back in Queens, the realness and foundation. If I die, I couldn't choose a better location. When feel a burning sensation, getting closer to God in a tight situation now. Take these words home and think it through. Or the next rhyme I write might be about you, son. They shook. Cause ain't no such thing as halfway crooks. Scared to death and scared to look. They shook. Cause ain't no such thing as halfway crooks. Scared to death and scared to look. Living the life that is dominant. There's numerous ways you can choose to earn funds. Some get locked down and turned nuts. Cowardly hearts and straight up shook ones.
Shook ones.
He ain't a crook, son. He just a shook one.
For every rhyme I write, it's 25 to life. There was so much trust, safeguard of my life. Ain't no time for hesitation. That only leads to incarceration. You don't know me, there's no relation. Queensbridge, MC, don't play. I don't got time for your petty thinking, my son. I'm bigger than those. Claiming that you pack heat, but you're scared to hold. And with the smoke clears, you'll be left with one of your 13 years in the projects. My mentality is what, kid? You talk a good one, but you don't want it. Sometimes I wonder, do I deserve to live? Or am I going to burn the hell for all the things I did? No time to dwell on that, cause my brain reacts. Front if you want, kid, lay on your back. I don't fake gas, kid, you know I bring it to your life. Stay in a child's place, kid, you out of line. Criminal mind, search
64 recognition. I'm sipping, E and J got my mind flipping. I'm bucking, digging my wiz out of hope for hustling. Get that loot, kid, you know my function. As long as I'm alive, I'ma live illegal. And once I get on them, I put on all my peoples. React with lyrics like Max, I hit your domo. When I roll up the beat, go sleep because I'm free.
Sunny shook, this ain't no such thing as halfway crooks. Scared to death, and scared to look, they shook. This ain't no such thing as halfway crooks. Scared to death, and scared to look, they shook. This ain't no such thing as halfway crooks. Scared to death, and scared to look, they shook. This ain't no such thing as halfway crooks. Living the life that a dungeon. There's numerous ways you can choose to earn funds. Some get locked down and turn guns. Cowardly hearts and straight up shook ones. Shook ones. He ain't a crook, son. He's just a shook one.
To all the villains and the $100 billions.
Welcome back. This is Studio W The Buzz and the Soul 70 Show. Hey, with your host Q Lynn Green. That was Shook Ones, Mobb Deep, part two.
Yes, rest on the Prodigy. He passed away not too long ago. He was just performing at a Vegas show. I think it was he died of complications with sickle cell. So rest on him. That's why I played that song. He's actually one of my favorite rappers in a group. But yeah, if we want to get to it, we're going with this part of the show is Black Music One segment. We've been giving appreciation to different kinds of music and different artists. I think at the beginning of the month we were giving homage to the best R&B group bands, and then the other week we gave a homage to the best singers, R&B singers, male or female. And last week I believe we paid homage to jazz music, and I tried to make it all come together with talking about jazz and reggae and Latin music and how all that intersects and come together just from my musical ear. But this week we're talking about, we give appreciation to hip hop and different kinds of hip hop, because that's the thing. It's just so many different conversations about hip hop music. And for me growing up, I used to listen to I told y'all I'm a heathen, so I didn't have any restrictions, even though I grew up in a Christian household. I didn't have any restrictions to the music I listened to. So I was listening to Onyx at a young age. Like, it was the worst kind of stuff they could say on TV or whatever on cassette tape. And I had my Onyx tape in, because that's my favorite kind of rap. Sticky Fingers is one of my favorites in the group. And if somebody told me he ate thumbs for breakfast, I would believe it, because that Tangled Eye used to scare me. And so, but it was intriguing at the same time. I don't know how to describe it, but Sticky Fingers, Onyx, I used to listen to all kind of rap. Like, when I was growing up, Onyx, you had groups like Onyx, then you also had groups like De La Soul and A Tribe Called Quest. I was into all that. I had all those tapes. And I was into CL Smooth and Pete Rock. I was into all kind of rap. So, to me, I'm just, when I make this top 10 list, it's not necessarily, and I'm going to have Shaka on. He's a hip hop. I was trying to see if Shaka is on. I was going to have him break down. Yeah. He's a hip hop writer. It's Front Free / Rap Dad. I love it. I feel like
it's frontfree.com. It was frontfree.com.
Yes.
Currently it's,
yes,
as of Rap yesterday, Dad. Rapdad.co.
Yes. So and I was,
address.
What I was going to do, I was going to let him have the floor, then everybody could, he was going to break down to me, I feel like hip hop MCs is mostly favorites, but trying to pick a top 10 is hard, because most of it I feel like is geared towards your personal favorite. So I don't think it's, but if Shaka wants to take over and break it down a little bit, that'd be great.
I think the top tens with hip hop is with anything top ten really, like you really have to look at, especially with music, you know, are you talking about, what discussion are you having? You know what I mean? Are you having a discussion about the hottest? You know what I'm saying? Because that changes day to day. You know, and that's a conversation a lot of, you know, hip-hop publications like to pride themselves on, is talking about who's the hottest. That's a different conversation than who's the greatest or who's the most influential or even who your favorite is. You know, your favorite can be anybody. Like, there's a lot of people, a lot of my favorite rappers, I won't say a lot, but there are definitely favorite rappers that I have that I wouldn't put up against somebody lyrically, but they're favored because, you know, they're close to home. It is close to home for me. There's nostalgia involved. Or they just, you know, they just had good records, and that happened.
Right.
So I think it's just a matter of figuring out, like, when you're making a top 10, like, what are you going off of? Are you talking about, you know, a lyrical top 10? You know what I'm saying? When you think about it, like, you got to think about, like, okay, like, a lot of people would put Ice Cube in their top 10. Right?
Right.
He may have not been, like, the lyrical monster every time, but you know what I'm saying? He has an impactful body of work and really just changed the game. Like, and for me, the added fact of him being, you know, one of the pioneers of California rap, gangster rap, definitely adds to it for me. So I may feel that more so than somebody else who doesn't have that same connection. But at the same time, you know, he's not going to go on the same list as I'm going to put Black Thought on in terms of, like, my favorite MC. Feel me,
right.
Like, in terms of just, like, just being able to lyrically represent and just be, you know, just a sound rapper. It's a different conversation to have, you know what I'm saying? Like, is this versus your favorite? You know, are you talking about who is the greatest, most impactful? Because, I mean, if you think about it, like, I'm not personally an Eminem fan, but I'd be crazy not to say he wasn't impactful.
Right.
Feel me? So it's a different conversation.
I was going to ask, I know Jay's on, he's a photographer, he's one of the greatest in Oklahoma City. I worked with him before when I interviewed Bilal, I believe it was a couple years ago. He was fantastic and was willing to go in. So Jay, I was going to ask you, I guess we could do it like this. We could, like you said, we could talk about, I guess, break down our favorites, who's our favorites. We don't have to have I have my 10, but if y'all just have y'all favorites, y'all can name them off. So I was going to ask Jay, who is his favorite MCs?
Okay, well, I would say my favorite group, hands down, A Tribe Called Quest. I think that they were my favorite because I could see a lot of myself in Fife Dawg. I remember growing up, I wanted to be just like Fife, and I was like, you know what I mean? If I was a rapper, I would be Fife Dawg all day. I didn't really want to be Q-Tip. I thought he was a little bit too soft for me. I was like, you know
right.
As I got older, I'm like, all right, he's cool as a man. He does the thing. And then I'm a Biggie zombie. I'm a Biggie zombie. The reason why I say that is because I'm one of those people who I don't think Biggie could do no wrong. Theoretically, Biggie shouldn't even be on a top five list because I don't think his body of work is even big enough. However, he's number one on my list. Why? Because I'm a zombie. A zombie, hands down. You know what I'm saying?
I think he should be on a lot of lists, really. I think he should still be on a lot of lists. I mean, granted, you know, you said he could do no wrong, but at the same time, without being disrespectful, he didn't get the chance to. You know what I'm saying? Like, him and Pun. For me, him and Pun. Like, both are two of my favorite rappers of all time, but at the same time, like, Pun didn't really get to, you know, put out the kind of body of work that, you know, other people in you know, my top tier have. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Royale, who's your favorite MC?
Well, you know, I'm really not a rap fan, you know, because I was a music major, and a lot of this stuff out here, you know, let's face it, you know, it's not good. It's like guys just rhyming words, right? But if I had to, because I'm more of an R&B guy, and smooth jazz and stuff like that. However, Snoop Dogg is my number one, and I'll tell you why. No one has a melodic rap voice like he has, like Snoop Dogg. It's like how he can sort of melodically, you know, rhyme and sing his song or talk his song or rap his song, whatever it is, right? And then Tupac, right? Tupac. I'm telling you, if you go back, the band was deep in, you know, in a lot of ways. Some people might say prophetic, you know, but, and then you may not think of him as a rap artist, but I played a song this past Sunday on my show, called Jazzy Sunday Nights, you know, from 6 p.m. on the PST, every Sunday. And I played a song because my son dedicated that to me for Father's Day, right? And it was Will Smith. It was Just the Two of Us, right? And like I said,
are you talking about that Will Smith song?
Yeah, Just the Two of Us. That is a bad jam, you know.
I was gonna have Shaka break down gangster rap.
Well, you know, it ain't gangster rap.
You can't bring Will Smith.
You asked me who is my favorite.
No, I was going to, before Will chimed in, I was going to have Shaka, because Will isn't into, like, hip-hop like that, so he likes happy rap. He likes happy rap or stuff without cussing. And I already know you think you're playing, but right now, I'm going, no. What I'm saying is that I get what Will, because I already tried to tell Will, because I feel like Will's confused on what gangster rap is.
I know what gangster rap is.
What I'm saying is that you have it mixed up, and I already know where you're at, but I was going to have Shaka go into breakdown gangster rap. I feel like he would do a better job of saying it better than that.
Before
y'all even do that.
Hold on, before Shaka goes in. Man, I understand, like, in happy rap, I mean, I grew up on happy rap, my family, like just like you, I grew up in a Christian household, my parents didn't like anything, cussing. I remember the second Naughty by Nature album blasting from my speakers, with Hip Hop Hooray on it. My dad bought it, not thinking that the rest of the album was straight gully, and I remember him ripping it out and throwing it and slamming it against the wall. But happy rap, I don't see how you can say that song from Will Smith when he had so many other hits.
Yeah.
And for two, there were artists like Heavy D. If you're into music, do you remember, I know it was Slip On, you remember the Blue Funk album by Heavy D? The Blue Funk album? Oh, man.
Oh, Heavy D is
Jay, what I was trying to interject just a little bit, I was going to explain to Jay, that Will is a little bit older, so he's not from our era. See, we get
it because
he grew up with it, so he's not in there. So I'm trying to understand it from his perspective. He's not from that era. He's from the Commodores and the Whispers, the 70s, that kind of stuff. So they never transit. So I'm trying to, the reason why I specifically tried to break down gangster rap so he can understand the perspective and where it's coming from. And I was going to have Shaka, if Shaka can come in, and then I'm going to try to make sense.
Let Will defend himself. Okay?
Well, please. They're new to this, so I'm trying to get them to understand it.
Yeah, I understand.
I know that, but I can't see it.
What I appreciate is people breaking down the difference between, because a lot of people always want to chime in talking about the best, greatest of all time or whatever that is. And like, right. I hear a lot of people compare like the Biggie and Pac. I'm like, they had two completely different styles. You can't compare them to two completely different styles. People always want to compare Jay-Z and Nas. Again, two completely different styles. I'm a Nas fan, but I'm not going to ride in my truck listening to Nas. I throw in Jay-Z way before I will Nas. If I'm just riding around, he got way more hits than him. So, and it's like, it's always a little convoluted whenever I hear people compare hip-hop artists and, so-and-so is better than so-and-so. I'm like, it depends on the content, what you're talking about. Lyrically, Jay-Z's at the top of the game in general, but lyrically, there's a lot of people that he cannot touch.
To answer the earlier question, like, in terms of favoritencies, like, of all time, like, kind of just under pressure just now, like, thinking about this whole conversation, I was just like, okay, well, I probably would say Jay-Z if I had to choose one. Because to me, like, you gotta think about his body of work. You gotta think about how long ago Reasonable Doubt came out.
Yeah.
And how incredible that record was. That, you know, like you said, that was the album that he'd been waiting his whole life to create. You know what I'm saying? So everything after that is gonna be, you know, not lesser, but just a different experience. That debut was incredible. So So think about now, if he drops the verse tomorrow, you're going to check for it.
Right.
You feel me? Like, and you're going to at least see what it is, what it is he's talking about. And he may have had, he may have had a few bad records or records that people didn't like or what have you, but his bad is a whole lot better than a lot of people's best.
You know, and what speaks volumes to me about him is he's never had a number one hit. He's never had a number one hit, and every album he drops is on platinum. Which
never
means people are buying it for the body
really
of work.
Keep up with hits. Yeah, I don't really keep up with hits, but I mean, you know, I don't really put much faith in what's that?
Billboard-wise, he's never had a number one hit. He's had hits, obviously, that people will play over and over again, but to industry standards, he's never had a number one Billboard
hit. Right, but that's what I'm saying. But you can get people to drop a single, and they don't make their album go up because that single went platinum or whatever. He's never had that, which meaning people buy his record because of the body of work, and not just, oh, this song is hot, so let me go get his album. Of course, this is before, like, the sound, you know, the way they get music now.
In a number of the albums that he's had that have been, you know, even the most successful to the most critically acclaimed were albums that were in, you know, came out at a time when people had to physically go and get the album.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I think that there's something to be said for that as well, that there's a number of albums that he's released that have been successful, have been critically acclaimed as well, that came out at a time when it wasn't just, you know, Napster may have been around at the time or whatever, but the majority of people were going to the record store buying that shit and then,
No, you're fine. You can say it. It don't matter.
And then taking 15 minutes to unwrap that CD. You know what I'm saying? Some of y'all remember that.
Right.
But to this day, the fact that in 2017, things have completely shifted, everything, you know, the whack is a new wave, but if he drops a 16, you're going to check for it, and he can put everybody in the game in check in a heartbeat, in 16 bars. Everybody's going to tune in. If your name is mentioned, you better hope it's positively. You know what I'm saying? And it's still,
you know,
it's still
a lot of people,
thing.
Even if it ain't, they all about it. Well, no. Any publicity is good publicity.
Yeah, he's still holding that spot, and nobody can touch it.
But rap is so cat now. Even if a rapper does come out with a 16 and put 18 rappers' names in it, nobody's going to even respond nowadays. That wasn't like that in the 90s.
Yeah.
Well, everybody's buddy. Nobody wants to mess their money up.
I saw a video of Redman talking about that. He was talking about how when somebody said your name, the next concert they had, you would go see them, or you would mention their name and talk about going to see them and check them or whatever. He was talking about Twitter gangsters. You know, everybody wants to respond on Twitter and get on social media and talk back and forth. He was like, we didn't play that. He said, number one person you never talked about was MC Hammer. He would show up with all 50 of his entourage. And it might have went down. If that's what he wanted.
Yeah, I don't acknowledge any of this current rap beef. I don't acknowledge any of this current rap beef as real rap beef. To be honest with you,
no.
Like real rap beef was when you didn't know anything about the artist. You didn't know anything about the artist.
Right.
The artists most of the time weren't going to be having access to one another outside of their record that they would record for that person. You know what I'm saying? There wasn't no extra anger get invented over Twitter or whatever. It was they went in the booth, recorded that shit, put it out. Eventually somebody would play it for the other person and you know what I'm saying? It would go back and forth like that. So the consumer got everything. You see what I'm saying? The consumer got everything.
Nowadays rap beef is strategic marketing. That's all that is. It's just I'm gonna say something so that we can get attention and we just
know who started that
social media.
You know who started that? I never saw that until 50 Cent and, what's his name, Kanye West had their little beef, and they was doing, like, magazine covers together. I'm like, y'all supposed to be beefing. Why y'all
supposed
to know
that?
Oh,
yeah,
I remember
that.
The
last solid rap beef I'd have to probably say was, take it all the way back to Hot 97 with Rockefeller versus the Lox.
That being part of that whole thing, I'm agreeing with you, absolutely.
I don't think anything came after that I was really like hanging on everywhere. Like the thing is that beef spilled over to so many different things. It was like a story arc, like in a comic book, like how there's a bunch of different titles but everyone is doing the same story. Like it was at the time I was in college. It was my first introduction when I went to the East Coast learning about mixtapes. And, you know, picking up the Clue tapes, picking up the K Slade tapes, picking up the, later on the DJ Drama tapes. And, you know, you'd pick those up and open that shit and like try to, you know, bring all your homies around. And everybody would sit there in the dorm and listen to whatever, you know, tracks were on there that may have addressed Jay Beans beat.
That was wreck right there. That was horrible. The last beef I actually enjoyed, it wasn't really even a beef, was when, G-Unit tried to go with the Locks. That was like so one-sided. The Locks was killing them so bad. But
hearing
Jada Kiss going at 50 Cent, I was like, oh, this is so embarrassing for him.
But what about 50 Cent going at Ja and destroying his whole career?
I thought that was corny, personally.
At that point, I was ready for Ja to go.
In the late 90s, did you or did you not think that Ja was gangster until that happened, and then you were like,
I never thought Ja was gangster.
No.
When that went down, I was so glad somebody's going at this nigga.
Oh, he lost me. Ja lost me after the first album. He stopped being a good artist. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I thought he was trying to mimic Tupac. I thought he was like trying, because that's when he started wearing a bandana. I was like, oh yeah, this is kind of corny. Because he had his,
he was doing that
like we were singing him, but it was like, I remember, we can kind of transition into, before that, I have my top 10. This is just my personal favorite. My 10 is Ice Cube, Common Sense, Scarface, Fat Joe, Kool Moe Dee, Big Daddy Kane, Twista, Busta Rhymes, Lady of Rage, and Corrupt. That's my favorite.
Something wrong with you, because Rakim should have been in there.
Who?
Yeah,
I was going to, that was my tie between, it was a tie between him and Kool Moe Dee. I was trying to figure out, but Kool Moe Dee, like, to me, history of who he was, like, for him to be the first one to be the battle rapper, like, for him to, like, the kind of shut down that whole throw your hands in the air kind of era rap was dope to me. Cause I remember watching a documentary and they were breaking that down. And that dude, I think his name was Buzzy B. Busy B?
Yeah, Buzzy B, boy, he ruined him.
He was like, Bossy, Bada, Bang, the Bang, Boogie. And then Kool Moe Dee came out and said, yo, fuck yo, Bossy, Bada, Bang, the Bang, Boogie. And he's like, this is how you ain't shit. And then he just went off. I was like, this is crazy. But just lyrically, I feel like he's one of the best.
Now, I love how you put Lady of Rage in there, because Lady of Rage was so ill back in the day. I was out of town last weekend, and I was driving back into town, and I listened to, what was that? What song is that? On the first Snoop album, not the G-Funk intro, but the next song, where Lady of Rage comes in. Oh, my God, she was so dope. And, I mean, she had so many tracks, but she was, I don't know. I really don't know why she didn't blow up the way she should have blown up. But
that's when Death Row shut down, and then they just, right.
I love his first album. I really don't feel like Fat Joe gets enough credit. He does not get enough credit because he went, you know, after he started, you know, after Pun died and he started doing, not that these two things are related, but he started doing, you know, hitting Miami and doing all the party joints and Pitbull and Lil Wayne and, you know, all that. Like, I think people got him kind of lost in the sauce, but, you know, before that, there was the Digging in the Crates crew. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, there was the Jealous Ones Envy album, which I would probably put that album next to AZ's album. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would probably, in terms of just like being a kid from Cali and being able to be transported to somebody painting a picture of where they're from, like, that was an incredible album. That nigga can rap. You can rap.
Right.
You know what I mean? He never stopped. Right. He never stopped rapping. I don't care for what he's making now, like, all the way up shit, like French Montana, you know, like all that. I think that's his best work, but I would never like forsake him what he came in the game doing. You know what I'm saying? Say Word, Respect Mine, all that. He had some joints back then.
Yeah, and then my favorite in groups, I did it separate because you were saying about Black Thought and Andre 3000. My favorites in groups, my favorite rappers is Chuck D, Trench from Naughty by Nature, Sticky Fingers from Onyx, Prodigy. I'm not just saying that because he passed away. He's legit one of my favorites. Old Dirty Bastard,
Raekwon, and then to me, for West Side Connection, that was like my ultimate favorite in middle school and high school, like when they would drop albums. So to me, Mac 10 and Dub T on West Side Connection, I love Dub T. He was always my favorite on any of those West Side Connection tracks. But that's my favorite.
I love when people talk about ODB. I love when people bring up ODB because he's just a very complex character in rap history when you think about, you know, people will like either put him on certain lists, you know what I'm saying, because they feel like he was self-aware, or take him off a list because they feel like he's not. You know what I'm saying? Like they feel like, oh, he was crazy, this, that, and the other. But when you really look at the musicality that he had, like his ability to like in his own way kind of like harmonize in a certain way, like he was really a masterful artist. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know how he went about creating things, but.
I like hearing ODB put in somebody's list, and for me, I always like to hear Redman because I feel like he's one of the most underrated artists that ever came out.
Right.
Yeah. I feel like with groups, I feel like you could. I feel like a lot of people don't talk about Beatnuts enough.
The Beatnuts.
Psycho Les and Juju, man. Like.
Yeah.
There's a solid body of work, man. You take it back to Musical Massacre. Further than that, you know what I'm saying? They really put in a lot of work, you know what I'm saying? And incredible, also
man,
producers
back,
as well.
Back when Death Squad was out, I actually listened to Keith Murray more than I did Redman. I don't think I started listening to Redman a whole lot until he came out with that one album in what's that one album he came out with in, like, 96, 97? What was that?
Muddy Waters.
Muddy Waters. That's when it was in concert rotation. But before that, I thought he was dope. But, I mean, I like Keith Murray more. I even like Tay Solo more.
I like Dolan Dudes just with him. I liked his creativity on his album. Like, after he dropped Muddy Waters and a couple more came out, then he dropped, like, Dr. Name. And all the albums were kind of linked together a little bit. I just thought that was dope. And, like,
that
lyrically,
note, I mean,
a lot of people lyrically.
Note, I mean,
oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was saying on that note, in terms of, like, the Redman K-Solo connection, I mean, EPMD.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
EPMD,
man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Incredible.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Incredible.
So what you're saying, please listen to my demo.
They stay in
rotation to this day. For me, they stay in rotation to this day. And the thing is, I wasn't into that back in the day. Like, my dad was actually a rap fan. But I don't remember him picking up any EPMD records for whatever reason. But I got into that later in life. I got into that as a grown-ass man. And I was like, yo, they were really putting something down. You listen to their albums and you're like, how many people have sampled all of these records? Like, you recognize everything. Because they did so much good work.
You Got to Chill is my number one gym song. Like, when I'm in the gym and that comes through, I'm losing my mind. Like,
what song?
You Got to Chill.
Oh, you got to chill.
I was going to ask y'all, in terms of, we're talking about our favorites, I was going to ask, like, I know there's rappers out there that, I wouldn't even say a guilty pleasure to like, but it's just like some that you know don't have the lyric ability, or maybe they do, but they're not necessarily like, maybe have top 10 worthy bars, but I was going to talk about like the ones that you just, they're favorites, but not necessarily like MC. Like to me, Too Short, and I love Juvenile, and I know this is regional for some from the Bay, but Spice One, I loved him growing up. Like,
Spice
I used to have.
Oh, yeah, I was about to say Spice One earlier.
Yeah, like, just from visiting, like, being a kid, being in California when I used to visit there in my childhood, that was, like, everybody was always bumping either Too Short or Spice One, like, going.
Philly Sale.
Yeah, Sally Sale, What's going Down. Remember Barbecue, they would blast that in the Alpine. Like, they would blast Sally Sale, What's Going Down. It would be, like, Low Riders, it's Kickback, Barbecue, that they were playing.
See, I'm from Kentucky, so it's a little more south, so I got to say Mystical.
Yes. I love anything
Mystical
The Limit.
Like, Mystical was on top. Like, because I'm from the south, so it's like, that's where it was
Master P had everybody with the same mixtape cover. Like, you just change the artist and it'll be the same one.
Pixel.
Yeah.
Right. I feel like everybody had that in their CD books, like the 100 case ones or whatever, the 50 case, they would have all, like, no, I remember my uncle used to have all of it, and it'd be just butt naked girls on cars, like, that's all I remember. I like, and it'd be the worst music, like, it was one that they were just saying the P word on, like, throughout the whole thing. I was like, what is going on? And then my, that would be the only restriction I would have with music. If it said, like, the P word or the nasty, like, vulgar words, that was the only thing, but they were listening to it, so I didn't care. So, that, I love that music.
Yeah. As far as guilty pleasures, I can't really say anything from the Bay, because, like, you know, I'm from the Bay, so, like, I feel like.
Yeah, that's really what I was saying, pleasure. Yeah.
It's not a guilty pleasure, it's just, it's a nostalgic attachment. You know what I'm saying? I know it may not stand right up against other work, but, you know, or some of it does, but, you know, I put it in a different place. But in terms of just like people that I have kind of like a, you know, guilty pleasure with, I'd say like, not even guilty pleasure, man. I just think people are.
Yeah, that's
like,
what I was saying. I didn't know.
I just think people are underrated. Like, the way I think about music, if I feel bad about listening to it, I'm just not going to listen to it, but. There's stuff like Project Pat, right?
Where I feel yes. All day,
he makes
day.
The most basic, he makes the most basic music, but his flow is impeccable.
And I forgot about Gangsta Boo. I loved her. I loved anything she was on with this.
Oh, man.
Gangsta Boo is everything. You know? Man, I used to love that. It was so
special.
He used
to have a crush on me.
Like, yeah. Really? Oh,
man.
Yeah. I forgot about her.
I think I hate
yes.
I hate every rapper you guys have mentioned in the last 5 minutes.
I love it.
I know every rapper we mentioned in the past 5 minutes.
I have. I've hated every single rapper in the you mentioned this in the last 5 minutes, especially Ice One. I've hated Too Short. I'm surprised none of y'all brought up Pimp C. People love Pimp C.
Oh, my God. Pimp C is on the earth. I love him. I played them. I used to play them in church all the time on the organ. I love UGK.
Let me tell you.
I played UGK and Too Short on the organ all the time in church. I used to play UGK.
I've been missing those Pimp C rants, man. I've been missing those Pimp C rants, calling everybody out.
Hold up. I got one. I got one.
Go ahead.
Trick Daddy.
Yes.
Okay.
Thug.com, it had some on there.
Yeah.
It had a few joints
that
on there. Thug.com.
Yeah, I would have it on. Somebody get in my car, and I would just, like, switch up CDs. Like, y'all don't know I listen to that, right?
Right. But like I said,
but
it's
when
like
I
not.
Myself, I'm wrong.
It's not like typical. It's not like typical, like an MC, like Trick Daddy, but he's a regional favorite. I guess that could be what I could say is regional favorite, because a lot of people love him.
No Limit was also very popular up here in the Bay as well. No Limit.
Yes.
So like it was like Master P, but the difference between him, a lot of people will compare that era to what's currently happening with rap, and I think that's a huge slap in the face, because it's like, Master P was coming out of somewhere where that didn't really have that much of a voice on the national hip hop scene. And
he
put them on the map. He put it on the map. And like, he really
he
helped a lot of people get their story out, and I can relate being from Cali, when Cali, you know, hip hop started coming out of Cali and people weren't respecting it on the East Coast, it was like, okay, but it's not for y'all. Especially being in the Bay where we had our own, like in the 90s, you know, when our stuff wasn't really popping like that nationally, like outside of like a few random cities, like maybe Kansas City, liked a lot of Bay Area music. But we had our own little world, and rappers were getting successful just off of touring the local area and off of sales in the local area, you know. But I don't think that there's people coming up now. That's not a voice. They're not bringing out a voice that we haven't heard before. They're not telling us a story we haven't heard before. So I think there's a difference. You know, when somebody's coming up, they're talking about nonsense. No, they're telling their story. But if it's not a new story, and if you're not breaking any doors down, or you're not breaking any barriers, like, you can't really compare this era to that one.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I was gonna ask everybody could have their input on this, but I was gonna ask specifically to Shaka, cause like I said, I know Will said we were having a discussion about this last week, and I know it's gonna get heated. I know when we start talking about gangster rap, but I'm just gonna give everybody a chance to just how they feel about, in terms of era gangster rap, what they categorize as gangster rap. I don't think what Will is pertaining to in terms of the profanity and vulgarness. I feel like what he's trying to tie to gangster rap is a bunch of the corny artists that were trying to make that a gimmick because they saw the real ones, the authentic ones, like Ice Cube or whoever that you would put there in that category, they were trying to mimic that. So Shaka, if he could kind of talk about gangster rap a little bit, and I can give everybody's opinion on it.
I'm gonna give you some homework. If you feel,
go ahead.
You know, like gangster rap is one dimensional. If you feel like gangster rap is purely born of negativity, listen to Colors by Ice-T.
Mm.
Just the song Colors by Ice-T. Listen to Raza by Kid Frost. You know what I'm saying? These came on very early on the onset of gangster rap when it was first coming into the mainstream. And they told stories. Like, Kid Frost was, you know, one of the first, I'm not a historian, so, you know, take these with a grain of salt, but one of the first Latino rappers to really have a national, in terms of gangster rap, at least coming out of California. He was the first one to tell that story. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was the first one to really tell that kind of story, but he did it on, like, you know, a beat that was, you know, had a little Latin fusion with it. It was dope. But I'm trying to think about what that sample was. But anyway, Colors by Ice-T, I mean, that song was, it was hard as hell. You know what I'm saying? Just the beat alone, you know what you're getting into as soon as you put that record on. But there was heart to it. He was explaining, what, you know what I'm saying, the mindset of a gangbanger in L.A. You know, my pops was from South Central. He grew up in the 70s, you know, at the onset of gangbanging. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to have him there to explain these songs to me as I'm listening to them as a kid. And I wasn't able to separate the fantasy from the reality. I was able to separate entertainment from the streets. And, you know, understand that, you know, these people were telling real-ass stories. Like, there are people, like, you know, people look down. I think it could be connected to the conversation that people have about gangbanging in general. If you're not from an area where gangbanging is common or gangbanging is ingrained in the culture, outside of, you know, South Cali, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people can't relate to that story or couldn't relate at the time to that story. But when you have people now who's, like, grandparents were Crips, you know what I'm saying? Or blood. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, you understand that there's a culture to it. And it may not be all positive. It may not be positive at all from your perspective, but there's still a story to be told, and people still deserve, you know, to tell their stories the way they want to tell it. So it's not all negative, man. It's not all negative, but even when it is, art imitates life. You know what I'm saying? Gangbanging existed before niggas ever picked up the mic.
Right.
So did misogyny, so did everything else.
And I think David Chappelle, he said something, I forgot what he said it on, I don't know if it was, I think it was just on a show he was on, but he was explaining it from a comedian's perspective. It was like the promoter of owner of the comedy club was telling him that it's no cussing. He was telling a story, and he was like, well, I say this because I live a profane life, so of course it's going to come off that way, is basically what he was saying. And so that's why I look at gangster rap, like, to me, when I was a kid listening to this, and I had no business listening to it, but it was, at the time, I didn't even realize what they, like, Onyx and Throw Your Guns, like, I didn't take that seriously. I was just listening to it because it was bumping. And then, who else? Like, Biggie's Gimme the Loot. Like, that's probably the best worst, I'd say it's the best worst song, because throughout the whole thing, like, he said the most disrespectful lyrics, like, he was saying something about, go to the wake with your blood on my shirt. Don't be a jerk and get smoked. Like, I was like, that's the most disrespectful. Like, how are you going to go tell somebody they're going to be a jerk for resisting? Like, you get ready to rob them. Like, what is, but I didn't realize what he was saying until I was 15. Right.
It's a double standard too. Like, because, like, why can Johnny Cash talk about killing a man and, like, have it be a totally made up story? Right?
Yeah. Rock music does the same thing.
Then we can't come along years later and start talking about what's going on in our very own communities. Oh, it's vulgar. Oh, it's not art. You know what I'm saying?
To that effect, it's like Jay-Z said it in what song? I can't remember what song it was. He said, "Scarface the movie did more than Scarface the rapper did to me." You got this movie glorifying this drug dealer. However, if it's put in a rap song, all of a sudden, you need to take that crap. It's all trash. However, they can win Academy Awards for putting it on TV.
Rap is a truly American art form. Really and truly. It's an American art form, but America is a very violent country. Like, we're a very violent, very sexual country. So to expect that a genre wouldn't reflect that. I think it's because these are black men saying these things. I think it's a very old argument. Cool. It's a very old argument in terms of, like, as long as gangster rap has been around and people still have this argument that, you know, oh, it's all negative. Like, are you not looking around? You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of violence in the world that would exist without rap ever being in existence. You know what I'm saying? And the very little that's caused, as you can prove, is caused because of rap. You know what I mean? It's not perpetuating. Right. It didn't start, you know. Yeah. Ghettos existed before rap. Gangsters right. existed before rap. Guns existed. You know what I mean? It's just a very easy argument to kind of bat down because it's like, what are you really saying? I mean, even beyond that, I related to rap, the gangster rap specifically. I mean, not because I was banging, I wasn't. But, these people were talking like people that I knew from around way. You know what I'm saying? I've lost my accent since then. But people sounded like people that I knew. It wasn't such a distant thing. Like, I loved LL growing up, but at the same time, like, he was from, you know, what at the time felt like worlds away. We didn't have the internet. So it made hip-hop more accessible as a culture to me because the people were from closer to where I'm from. They talked like I talk, and the music itself at the time, you talk about, like, you know, what was coming out, it reflected the funk that I grew up on. And that's a very big part of the West Coast car culture and very big part of the West Coast culture in general. It was like funk, you know what I'm saying, Roger and Zapp. There was, Parliament, all that stuff. Like, all that went into gangster rap. And that's a very big part of gangster rap when you talk about the G-Funk era and what that's done. Sounds like that.
Yeah, something that grew me to it was not even the content of what they were saying. It's the content of how they say it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just,
right.
Oh, I'm walking outside to wash my car to go ride the city. It's like a lyrical, talented way of saying that. It's like,
exactly.
Like, that's why I like
very
music.
Normal thing.
That's why I like music where I gotta go back. I'm like, hold on. I've been listening to this for 4 years. And I'm just now realizing that's what he was saying. Like, I can appreciate that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly.
I know I ain't the only one that's been there. This is like, oh, that's what he said,
yeah.
Right? You know, like, I love that type of stuff. It's like, that's why, like, it's a guy that I work with. He was like, you know, I don't listen to, you know, rap. You know, they talk about raping women and killing people. I'm like, you ain't never heard a damn rap song talking about raping somebody. Like, what are you talking about? So I just spit like a couple of lyrics for him. He was like, oh, well, yeah. I ain't saying anything because I know he ain't never heard a song.
When you go back.
I don't know what song I quoted or whatever. I was like, did you know what I just said? He was like, no. And I explained to him the lyrics. He was like, oh, well, and he was still a little reluctant to understand, but I was like, whatever. But it's like, you got to appreciate it because, like you said, it's an art form. It's a form of art. They reflect what they see.
Yeah, there's a lot of different voices within it. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's just a lot of different people, like MC8, PJ Quick, two very different people. Sugar Free,
right.
You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of different avenues that different artists went down. I mean, it wasn't all the same thing. I mean, you know, people complain about everything sounding the same now, and they want to call it a subgenre, like, oh, this is called mumble rap. You know, I was on a panel and talking about mumble rap, and I was like, it's not really a genre. It's all you niggas trying to make the same exact song 50,000 times because you did a safe bet that it'll be a hit. That's not a genre. That's y'all biting off each other. You feel me? It's
exactly.
Not y'all jacking each other's ways, and you know what I'm saying? It's just ridiculous that, you know, they try to call that a subgenre. It's like, no, it's not. And the thing is, they always talk to old heads like me, quote-unquote. They're always like, okay, y'all just want everything to sound the same, or y'all don't want us to have fun, or whatever. It's like, no, y'all can have fun, but just be good at rapping. That's not a strange thing. The thing is strange now. You got to be a purist to want rappers to rap well.
Right.
for you to support their work. Like,
yeah.
Like, what?
I was having that conversation. I was like, dude, I was like, it's not even just that the mumble rap. It's like a lot of new rapping there. It's like, whack. It's so horrible. And, you know, somebody blamed it on my age. It was like, oh, you're getting older. You know, the older generations always hate the younger music.
Yeah.
I said, no, correction. I said, when we came up, you had the 80s, 90s, all those hip-hop artists, even early 2000s. The older hip-hop heads, they may have not have liked it or agreed with it, but they could appreciate the talent that them dudes was putting into their work.
Yeah, and on top of that,
I said, nowadays, I said, can't nobody appreciate that crap. Don't nobody
on top
like
of that, y'all just got here. This is my house, niggas. Like,
yeah.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I grew up here. Like, the thing is, our generation before mine, like, aside from, like, my dad was obviously, off, you know, a one-off, but, most of my friends' parents, they had to, you know, my friends had to sneak around to listen to rap. Or they had to, you know, their parents just didn't rock with it like that. So no, they didn't understand the culture. They didn't understand what it was supposed to sound like because they never heard nobody speaking over beats. We grew up on that.
Right.
So,
but
we
even
can
the
still
artists
tell, like, maybe your shit is just whack now. Like, maybe,
right,
I think
right,
maybe some
exactly.
young people need to focus on that. Like, think about the fact that you don't have a tangible relationship to music anymore. There's no
right,
expectation.
Exactly.
Like, you'd be mad as hell. You spent $15 on an album back in the day, and it was whack. Like, you'd be pissed off.
Yeah.
Nowadays,
exactly.
nowadays artists don't have that obligation. They get their little streams. They get their little sales first week, and they're scot-free because everybody's going to forget about it. Back in the day, you would never forget somebody gave you a whack album.
Right, you remember the exact date when it was, the time of day
and,
it was,
yeah.
everything.
And that's all
like,
you had.
If I run into this dude.
And that's all you had till your next album. You know, so that's all you had till the next year when your label decides to give you another album.
Like you really
you
tried
get,
to
you
get,
didn't
this
get no
tie
mixtapes.
Tape.
You didn't get any mixtapes. You didn't get any Snapchat freestyles. You didn't get any Instagram beefs or anything like that between albums. It was your album. You interview with the source. Maybe go on Yo MTV Raps, you know, depending on what time
yeah.
period it was, and that was it. Your only voice, your one shot was your album. You know what I'm saying? So just knowing that, can you even consider as a young person that maybe there has been a decline in quality? But a lot of people will argue with you tooth and nail, but then not go and listen to what you're talking about. So I think, that's with Rap Dad and my site, that's what I'm trying to like kind of do is like, figure out ways that we can kind of bridge that gap a little bit to where, you know, there's a lot of young people that surprisingly are receptive. I think on Twitter, like, we get kind of jaded because we, you know, see a lot of people who are just defiantly ignorant and who just praise all the wrong music and don't listen to anything beyond a certain point. But there's a lot of kids, like when I speak at colleges, it's like there's a lot of kids at 18, 19, you'd be surprised how young they look. Yeah. But,
right.
Not even black kids all the time. I speak at UCLA. So it's predominantly like Asian, Latino, white kids, and they're hungry for knowledge about music. You know what I mean? So I think we can't sell all young, I think we bunch them too much. I do it too, but we bunch young rap fans into this category because they don't want to learn. When there are a lot that do, but just get discouraged because they don't know what questions to ask. And
right.
you know, people get all ridiculous when they're, oh, you haven't heard, you know, Rebel Without a Pause, that's, you know, and we get upset with them, but it's like, yo, like, there was a time when you were there too. You know what I'm saying?
You don't remember The Treacherous Three, you don't remember when that was popping, you don't remember, you remember when, Kool Moe Dee was rapping out here, how do you all know that?
I get dismissive when people go
right.
jump out the window and say something stupid and then they reveal how little they
oh,
know.
Yeah.
After that,
oh,
like when somebody
trolling.
Says, oh, this
right.
is the greatest of all time, or this is my time. You know, and when you get into the superlatives and start saying what's best and what's better than this and what's better than that, I suggest you go back a little further and do your history so that's when people can challenge you. Because I can't challenge you on what you like. You
right.
know what I'm saying? But
and,
I can
and that's
challenge
what
you.
The problem is. Right, that's
yeah.
what the problem is. Like you said, to add on to that, a lot of them, I think it was XD when I interviewed him, I think last year, he does the Jade and XD show. He told me, he said something so profound. He said that a lot of these kids coming up are unchurched because a lot of those artists that took that, a lot of them, either soul singers, they got their skill from in church. And then rap, I guess the correlated to rap, most of them couldn't afford to be a musician or to play in a funk band. So that they had the sampling and all that going into the late 70s, early 80s. So I think that a lot of, like you said, they don't know music history. They don't, like, one of these little Machine Gun, Uzi Vert, whatever his name is, he was saying, or one of those rappers were Lil Yachty or saying they were better than Tupac or they're the new Tupac, Young Thug, whatever
yeah,
they were saying.
Yeah,
and it's like
that's it.
those extremism,
to do that.
Right.
It's erasure. And it, you know, they, like, people bring that up to be funny sometimes, or they bring it up, you know, with relation to other more serious issues, but it's an erasure. Like, there's an erasure going on with hip hop history. Like, they'll dismiss a lot of very valid things as, oh, old nigga shit. Like, I heard somebody
right.
on, you know, Everyday Struggle with, on Complex, you know, Joe Budden's show with, DJ Academics.
Yeah.
They're all listening to old shit, old nigga shit. How the fuck
right.
do you have a platform to talk about hip hop culture? when we have so few? How are you on a show talking about hip-hop culture and you dismiss everything before your generation as old nigga shit?
How yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Right, that doesn't make any sense to do that. Like, right.
How does that help?
It does.
You're not educating. You know what I mean, you're not qualified if you don't have. All you're going to speak about is Drake and everything that's new. But you know, you can't go back and at least have put me at ease. Well, you tell me your opinion is that Drake is the best rapper alive. That's fine. That's your opinion. That's how you feel based on your consumption of his music. That's fine, but at least let me know that you come from a background of knowing what the hell you're talking about if you're on a platform to do so. Don't dismiss
right.
everything before you as old when the stuff you have today wouldn't exist without the era before, which was when people were telling you to turn that hip-hop shit off.
Exactly. And you know, I was going to ask...
It wasn't accepted
right.
in the mainstream.
And I was going to ask y'all, and everybody can chime, Marcus and Shaka, y'all can... I want y'all opinions on this. Like you said, like everybody wants to make a top 10, especially mainstream publications like Complex. I don't know if it was last year or year before, made that trash list. I feel like, to me, if you don't have more than 10 years or like a credible catalog of music to where it was impactful and your MC skills, like you like they put Kendrick Lamar and Lil Wayne on there, like I felt like Kendrick Lamar is too soon for him to be on there, and it's just like lists like that. I just wanted to ask y'all, who do you think, we talked about our favorites, but what's the list, if there is one, who is some rappers that you think shouldn't be on there at all, like, period?
Well, I think a lot of these, when I see those kind of articles, I think that it's, you got to also think about how social media works and how online publications work. I'm an online writer, so I've written for a few publications before. One of them was a subsidiary of Complex, but, there are certain things that they'll put into articles that will just grab the social media results when you go search for something. You know what I mean? So if they,
right.
so putting Drake on a list like that is beneficial to them. One, because people will search for Drake in large quantities.
Yeah. Clickbait.
And two,
yeah.
Exactly. And two, because people will be upset about it and people will be for it. And that'll just get the most people. That'll be the biggest cross-section of people. Whether you're mad about it or you agree with it, you're going to click that link. I won't, personally.
I just saw a screenshot of the list. I didn't ever click on it. I never did. I just saw a screenshot of it. I wasn't getting on that shit looking at that. Like, how the fuck you put... How do you not have Ice Cube on there? That was disrespectful to me. I'm like...
What was the list?
How do you, and what they were just... It was like Complex, the best top 10 rappers, and they didn't even... They were just basing it on sales. They were trying to contradict themselves because they were saying it was about MC skills, but then they mentioned throughout the whole thing when I saw the screenshot that it's about this person, Drake, sold so many records and did this many numbers. I'm like, that's not a legit list because you're just basing it on
guess.
Sales.
Let me guess, the writers that deliberated over this list, their names are nowhere to be found on that document. I guarantee
right,
you.
Exactly, because they already knew that Twitter, that somebody's going to light their mentions up.
No, it's going to say
Complex
staff, right? Because
yeah, exactly.
Because what happens is, I think personally, like, I think if there's going to be rules to this thing, this is online publication thing, which there will never be, but it needs to be that if you're going to make a list like this, at minimum, everybody there needs to be linked. There should be a link, or there should be
right.
at least a byline for every single person that was involved in that conversation, so I know what perspective they're coming from. You know what I'm
exactly.
saying? If you have a bunch of 19-year-old kids sitting in there dictating who's the best rappers, I'm going to have some questions for you. But they'll never do that because most of their writers are 19 and writing about a culture that's incredibly older than them that they refuse to do any research on.
That's exactly
think,
how I
right,
took it.
I'm sorry, I'm
exactly.
bitter.
I was like, it's a bunch of young kids.
Hey, I have a question for the panel. When did rap start in the United States? Do you know?
Where did rap start?
When? What year? Was it the 80s, 90s? When did it really start?
It was the late
70s. No, it was in the 70s. If we want to go
mid
real,
to
it's like Gil Scott.
That was Curtis Blow, right?
Okay.
Before that. I mean, well before that. I mean, it was kind of
yeah.
undocumented. Like, it came up as very grassroots. It came up when people used to, I mean, when you talk about park jams, if you ever heard
of
that.
No, I'm saying like on the radio. Like on the radio.
Right.
Was it Sugar Hill Gang?
But I have a
question. Yeah, Sugar Hill. Sugar Hill.
But actually, my research tells me if you use, there's a book called, reggae roots, right? It started in Jamaica with Iroy and Uroy. And these cats, they used to rap too. Like, they used to take, like, the songs from America, whether it was the Temptations or whatever it was, right? And they used to go around in vans, and they used to do this, and they used to do this thing, and they used to start rapping there. So my question is, and according to my history, I don't know which started first, whether it started there or started here, but I think you might want to check that out.
I mean, people also say the same thing about James Brown being an early rapper in terms of the way that he delivered his, in terms of his cadence and the way that he delivered a lot of his music. I see.
Interesting.
That's the rhythm section, period.
Now, that's interesting. No, that's,
I believe Clyde
Stubblefield, the first hip-hop drummer ever with the JBs, like that funky drumming. And he said, I remember watching a documentary, he said that's not even his favorite song. He couldn't tell you how he played it. If you pulled it up for him, well, he passed on some months ago, but he's one of the illest to me. I used to love the JBs, and that's how I got keen my ear, because I'm a musician. I play the drums and the piano and the organ, all that stuff. And listening to Clyde Stubblefield play the rhythm section, it's absolutely hip hop. Because that their whole they were on the one, but the hip hop made it to two, and that's a two count, a two beat. It's a little musical term there, but they were on the one, but the two, but it's the same thing. But yeah.
I think in terms of the music as a genre, like, I break it down to production. I break it down to the actual music of it before I even get to the rapping, because rapping came later. You know, the DJs were the star to begin with, and, you know, a rapper might come along and give a few bars, but they weren't the star to begin with. So, you know, that's why with a lot of stuff now, when I question is this rap, because the production has no remnants of the sound that, you know, founded it. And that's fine. I mean, people want to call it evolution or whatever. In some cases, I call it dilution. In some cases, I call it, okay, you're doing a whole other genre. This is R&B. I'm sorry to tell you. But, you know, I break it down to production before I even get to the rapping part of it. The culture goes back to the 70s and just how they came about. I mean, even if people were rapping in a certain cadence, technically, when you go back before the origins of the genre, you know, I don't think that was really can be called hip hop, or that they were the first hip hoppers. I just kind of think, okay, this, you know, all music has roots in other music.
Right, you know exactly. What I mean? But I get when they say that, it's just tracing the history. I think people that don't trace history, I think when they say, oh, he's the godfather of hip hop or soul or whatever, I think it might, what you're saying in terms of that is correct. But I think if when I heard that, that made me go search for more James Brown records, and I found the JB. Mm-hmm. And that helped me musically. And I'm like, yo, this is hip hop. This is the start of hip hop, because the way he's on that accent, and he's not, and all these samples.
Samples made me a better music fan. Samples made me a better music fan, because you used to look in the album cover and see what they sampled, and I'd go look for that record. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And you have a whole other love right there, because it's a whole other song that's the exact same way. Like, Dead Presidents by Jay-Z, that little piano loop, that little broken piano loop there, that doom, doom, doom. That's Lonnie Liston Smith, Garden of Peace. Incredible song that exists in its completely own space on my playlists. You know what I'm saying? But it's just, it's beautiful that I was able to discover that from this. And I kind of missed that. You know what I mean?
Man, we had, man, I wish we could have did it. Like, we should have did a 2-hour one, because I didn't know we was going to get so deep. We had already at the end of the show. But I was going to say this. I'm just going to say this and then try to transition into the Savvy Heathen talk, and then y'all can plug everything I have going on. I was going to say that in terms of, to me, I feel like some of them is debatable, but to me, when I was asking about who should be on there, I think Eminem, I feel like he doesn't have a body of work that I would, like, listen to every day. Because I feel like he made music for Caucasian kids that threatened, cursed their parents out when they didn't do their tours. Like, I feel like he made music for those kind of fans. Like, it was so, it was off. Like, I feel like Eminem just bit off of Redman. To me,
I feel you. I don't think I can't ride with you on that one. I mean, I don't care for Eminem because of, I mean, this is content and delivery that's don't appeal. I mean, but technically rapping, like, he is the beat.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm just saying in terms of the songs, like, I wouldn't put that up against anybody. Like, lyrically, he's amazing. But I'm saying
his record, no, I wouldn't. I mean, in terms
but
of,
I even
and question, that's another
I even question,
question
right? I question his, I people put him on certain lists, and personally, like, I don't think that anybody else would be on those lists if they did a song like Purple Pills or Hi, My Name Is. Like, that, I'm sorry, you can't tell me that those songs were dope. I don't care.
Right.
How big an Eminem fan you are, you can't tell me that song wasn't annoying. He had a lot of singles that came out at the start of his career that were just like that, that had that same little do-do-do-do-do, that were just terrible.
Right.
Like, yeah, you know what I mean? And I don't think anybody else would have gotten away with that and still been like, okay, this is a top-tier MC, or we're going to keep listening to him. Like, he would have got laughed out. But I think that he existed in a different space. And I don't want to bring him back to race completely because he is an extremely talented MC, but I do think being white, it absolutely helped him. I don't think anybody can really argue that. But I also think it helps him in terms of being considered for, you know, a lot of the top lists in terms of consistency, mm-hmm. in terms of albums, even if you want to put that album by itself, I don't think there's any classic album that has Hi, My Name Is on it. I'm sorry to say, let's fight, whatever. But I just don't think that can be part of a classic album.
And I got one more question for all y'all, and then we do a Savvy Heathen Talk in the show. I was going to ask, like you said, you were mentioning the liner notes and credits. Like, that was, I still do that to this day. Like, that's what makes me love it, music even more. Like,
Wikipedia.
I know Spotify, they need to, I've been ranting about that. Like, Spotify needs to put credits on there, cause that's like frustrating. Like, as a journalist, like, trying to find the, cause I'm into soul music, like R&B music, so I'm into like real live instrumentation on albums, so I try to look for the lineup. I use like All Music and different other references, but I'm just saying, like, in terms of, sometimes Wikipedia doesn't have it, so I'm like, yo, like, who is that on there? But I wanted to ask y'all, like, in terms of cassette, because I'm from the cassette tape era, like, that was my first purchases were cassette tapes. I want to ask y'all, do y'all, what was your first cassette tape, or anything that made you, like, look at the credits, the liner notes, like, whether, what hip-hop record, if it was a soul record, like, what was one of those cassette tapes or CDs or whatever that you looked at and saw the credits on?
I don't know. I mean, for of my own, or the thing is, my dad had hella records. So, like, I didn't really start buying my own rap music because I didn't need to until, like, high school.
So what was more, like, a credit on a vinyl or whatever, if you saw, like, for whatever artist you were looking at?
Man, I honestly couldn't even, it's just so much. Like, literally, I grew up with hundreds of records in my house. So, like, for me, I mean, I remember that Two Live Crew album cover with the girl's butt on it. I remember that sitting in the house, and my mom was pissed. But, I remember my dad having that album. I definitely remember having that around. Nah, but, I mean, I remember that LL Cool J. I was a big LL Cool J fan, so I'm pretty sure I snuck and probably looked at the liner notes for that one. My dad didn't, like, you know, touching his records too much, but...
Marcus,
you know,
which one
did you?
I'm bad,
I'm trying to think. I remember, man, I got to think. Somebody else go.
like I said, I think mine was the first one I saw. Maybe it was, like I said, I remember the Onyx tape. I remember looking at the credits on, I think I had the cassette tape, and I think I didn't have the CD. My dad had the CD. I remember seeing that, but most of it was soul albums, like Pebbles, I think first Always album. I think I remember seeing the line notes on that, and then it was After Seven. That's my favorite group of all time.
After Seven is incredible.
Yes.
It would help.
Kevon's one of the best singers to me. He's like his voice, I don't know if Babyface wrote records that sounded like Toni Braxton, but he's like like, if his voice was a female, I would say it was Toni Braxton, because they kind of have similar vocal inflections.
I feel like Babyface gave Kevon Edmonds a throwaway.
right.
But they were good. I mean, they're still Babyface records at the end of the day. I mean, weren't they still written or at least produced and or written by him? So,
yes,
I mean, yeah, I used to love After Seven, man. Like, I had the Best of After Seven CD. I played the hell out of that CD.
I love After Seven. That was my group. But Angel, do you have you have a childhood memory of looking at a certain kind of album?
Oh Lord, because we were always broke. But no, Whitney Houston. We stayed up on some Whitney. Whitney and Chaka Khan, those were my Chaka will forever be the woman that I always loved. So anytime I got anything of hers, I stayed up in. I'm one of those people that'll still go and buy like an actual CD now because I like to look in the paper of it and read whatever they put in there. I mean, they don't put lyrics in there anymore.
That used to be excitement for as me as a kid. That used to be excitement to go. Cause it was a record store like right next to my, I remember in my elementary school, I used to have my allowance money ready for any cassette tape or CD that dropped. They used to have the singles on cassette tape, the side A or side B, the remix. I know if you're under 25, you don't understand nothing I just said. I'm speaking German,
you can wait to open up that album and unfold the paper.
But kids today, they won't never experience that of the joy of having that. I just love those memories. Especially with cassette tapes, like making mixtapes, like cassette tape, like you remember you had to get on the radio and like pause it, like doing a commercial break. Yeah. And if you had any space in there, you had to rewind the whole tape back. They used to piss me off because it'd be like 2 minutes long. And then the DJ, he'd be on for like, you'd be waiting for the DJ to, like, nigga, if you don't play the song, like, doing this whole long ass intro, play the song.
So I can record it.
Yeah, like, take all that.
I just remember mine was Lethal Injection, Ice Cube.
Yeah. Lethal
Injection. I remember, I don't know how I got the money, but I ended up going to buy that. And I was proud because it was my music, my song. I had to sneak it back because my daddy wasn't about to let me have no rap music up in the house. I had to sneak all my hip hop in.
Right. Oh my God, this has been such a great show. I wish we could talk for a whole nother hour, but we're out of time. We went over a little bit, but that's all right. I wanted to, if y'all could go around, and I'll go with Marcus Angel first. You let the people know where they can find you on social media, any projects you have going on, and then Shaka, you can come in after that.
All right, so you can catch me and Marcus on my YouTube channel, which is That Chick Angel TV. We have our podcast, Just Gonna Cause an Argument, as well as Daily Vlogs. And you can catch me on Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat at Angel the Actress.
And Shaka.
Okay. So I recently had a site called frontfree.com. It's been about like 10 years roughly. Currently, I just changed the name to rapdad.co. Just time for new energy. So, you know, I really hope to be putting some new stuff up there pretty soon. There's a Gucci Mane review up there right now, and there's going to be a few more editorials coming pretty soon. So rapdad.co is the website. You can find me on Twitter at rapdadonline. That's where you can get the updates for the site. _rapdad is my personal account. And, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I want to thank y'all, every guest that came on today. Thank you, Marcus and Angel, for coming on from Is This Gonna Cause an Argument podcast. I absolutely love it. I try to tune in as much as possible when I'm doing a gig. If I'm on an airplane, I try to watch it. I love the show. Also to Royale, thank you. We didn't have April on, but they're supposed to be on later on, both of them. But thank you to Royale for coming on earlier in the show. Also to Jay Wiggins for coming on as well. It's been a great, listen, Shaka, you folks, I can't wait to, we're going to have the full audio of this for next week. I'm going to have it on soul7ness.com. I can't wait to listen to it because you dropped so many gems, and I'm going to listen back to see some more because I know I missed some more. But thank you so much for coming on and dropping all these gems because your wealth of musical knowledge is there. No, it was perfect.
I love it, but I appreciate you having me on, and anytime you want to do this, let me know. I'm always happy to talk to somebody about it. I don't never really get a chance to be around people that talk about rap much. Either it's like they're MF Doom fans or they're Drake fans. There's no real gray area of people who listen to it at all, you know. So.
Right. But thank you so much, Marcus and Angel, and thank you, Shaka. We do a savvy heathen talk. If we just say whatever's on our head, I'm just going to say rest on to Philando Castile. I don't have anything clever I want to say. I just want to say rest on to him and to his family, peace to his family. And that's all. And if Shaka or you, Marcus Angel, if y'all have a a savvy. You can just say whatever's on your mind. That's what savvy heathen talk is. You just say whatever you feel like
rest
saying.
Rest in power to Prodigy.
Yes.
Everybody else, the culture lost over the past 2 years. I'm saying, that's it.
Yes.
All right, thank you.
Is Marcus and Angel still on?
Yeah, we right here. Thank you so much for having us. I'm so tired from sitting in traffic. Ain't nothing on my mind, but thank you.
Okay.
I know, that's right.
And how about Shaka? Shaka.
He already said.
Okay, well, great.
That.
All right. Let's close this out because we went over just a little bit. That's okay. And I withdrew from this conversation a while back because you guys were way over my head because it's not my genre of music. But the thing about it was it was extremely entertaining and it's educational because a lot of people don't understand what it's all about, what the culture is all about, what rap is all about. So I think, Q-Lynn, I think you're going to have to do a part two. I thoroughly enjoyed this show.
Yeah, listen, thank you all for having, y'all gave so much wealth to this conversation. Thank you, seriously, because it was such a great conversation. I wish it would last longer, but I absolutely got to have y'all back on to talk this if y'all want to. Market to Angel and Shaka, I love this conversation. It was amazing. But thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it.
All right.
Sure. Thank you.
Hey, you've been listening to Studio W The Buzz. Stay tuned 24 hours a day and tell your friends, download that app, IMG, the number 2, okay? And our website, studiow.buzz, coming up shortly, Braxton.